You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty. Why did I just get a lilt? Did you hear that? That was unnecessary on my part. I was like, oh, welcome to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. That was horrible. Go ahead, Craig. You know you want to do it. You know.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to.
Don't. You can do it.
Irish Craig is coming out for the party.
There he is.
He's right here for the whole party.
Kathy O'Neill joins us in the studio. It's time for Irish Fest this year. I had a little Facebook like that a year ago, and we had a lovely musician on with us last year. I can't remember his name now, but he had like the little drum on the over. Okay,
he was amazing.
He was amazing. Stop, Carm. He was amazing. We were all enchanted, and now I can't remember his name. I'll pull up his picture. But tell us about Irish Fest. Yes, go ahead.
This will be our 31st year.
31st year.
Yeah. So we're getting really excited. It's July 8th, 9th, and 10th, and we're very excited to have you out and have a comedy showcase on Friday night at 8 o'clock.
This is my first time performing at Irish Fest. I'm very excited.
We promise no tomatoes.
Wow. There's never been a tomato at a single one of my shows. I've only been booed once, and that was in New York, and that's to be expected from New Yorkers.
Forget it. And I'm from there, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's just so rude.
So we're really excited this year. We've got some great music lined up. We brought the performance group from the Academy of Irish Music tonight, and they're going to be performing a couple times during the fest, and we thought we'd bring them down to showcase some of the traditional Irish music that's on tap for the weekend.
And how many performers do you have? How many groups would you say?
I'd say probably 50 or 60.
Yeah,
because we've got the big main stage outside, and then we've got the auditorium where you'll be performing on the inside.
No pressure to fill that.
Yes, 658 seats.
Friday night at 8 o'clock, myself, Jimmy McHugh. We've just sent out an email to somebody we're hoping will be our surprise headliner as well. And Jimmy McHugh, James Vickery, regular on the show, will be performing stand-up comedy in the auditorium on Friday night.
And we also have a great cultural lineup in our library this year. We really bumped up. It's what makes us different than a street fest is we've got lots of, you can learn the Irish language, maybe a curse or two. We're doing storytelling. I'm going to be telling some short stories about growing up Irish American in New Jersey in the 80s. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Some genealogy too.
Yeah,
we have some experts that are in the library as well.
Brian Donovan, our genealogist, is great. And we tell people, just bring something, just a piece of paper, because people get really inundated. They don't know where to start. And they get scared.
So like a birth certificate?
Anything you've got from your family.
Well, I mean, I have a receipt from Walmart, but I don't know what you could do with that.
That's a start.
No, I've looked at my dad's, I always thought my dad was born a Northside Irishman, but he was actually born on the South Side, which I did not learn until after he died.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was fascinating.
Cool.
Yeah, so I would like to bring that and find out, like, the, you know, I'm guessing that depending on what hospital someone was born, you know, the parish they were living in.
Absolutely.
Says a lot about how their family, because it was his grandmother who had migrated here from Ireland.
Oh, okay.
So, Connie Cork.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Carm, any Irish in you?
No, but I really want to be a part of the show in some way, shape, or form. So I'm trying to figure out an angle here.
Have you ever dated an Irish girl? You have to have dated an Irish
I've been
girl.
We're
everywhere.
I've been attracted to an Irish girl. Does that count?
Yeah.
What was it? Freckles? Was it ginger? What was it that drew you to her?
It was her personality, Patty. It was the way she just stood out from the crowd.
We do have a reputation of being a little bit louder. Would you say, Kathy?
Oh yeah.
Right. What do you think accounts for that? For being a little bit brassier when it comes to conversation.
Maybe big family. I'm the youngest, so I have to speak up. I have to steal the food from the table.
Right.
So, yeah, it could be just trying to be heard in a large family.
And even if you are, you know, an only child or a smaller family, you're raised by people who probably came from bigger
aunts
families.
And uncles, yeah.
So, Adrian, yes? No. Adrian? No, neither one of you? Yes. Hi, Adrian. How are you doing? What instrument do you... It looks like a fiddle, but I don't want to make any assumptions.
Oh, yeah, it's a fiddle.
It's a fiddle. And what brought you to the fiddle? Was that your first instrument?
It was not my first instrument, actually. I played Chinese folk music first, but something about Irish music just really brought me to it, and these guys left the door open, so I found my way in, and they haven't been able to get rid of me.
Good job.
How was that transition from playing a different style of music culturally to Irish music?
It was a little rough at first.
Are there rules? I mean, I always imagine Irish music to be sort of this very kind of building on each other, right? What's already in place and sort of building on a note.
Yeah. It's I definitely went from a system with a lot more rigidity and a lot more rules to something that was a lot more free to just express yourself, and I really like that, and I think that's why I am still with it.
And how long have you been with the Irish Academy of Music? Academy of Irish Music. I'll do it right.
God, it's been a while.
He doesn't want to really get to trace back how long it's been.
It's integrity going on. Yeah,
let's be specific about it. I'm going to have Nick or Eric. Okay. No, it's. I told you I was gonna have trouble. It was Colette and Kira. I've got which. So how long have you been playing with the Academy of Irish Music?
I've been playing with the Academy since 2006.
Okay, so let's see how he's got the number right. He learned from you. He's like, I'm going to be ready with this answer. And have you been playing Irish music before that? Or
no, that was my first. I've been playing classical music all my life.
Okay.
But then in 2006, a friend of a friend, someone of my mom or someone, I don't know, they told me to come. So I stumbled into the door. And mm-hmm. I guess I had a lot of fun because I never left. So.
They're like, we can't get rid of this guy. Fine, let him play. Put him in Irish Fest.
Yeah.
That's how I think I got a show. They're like, oh my God, she shows up every year. Give her a stage.
But it was a brand new experience for me. I'd never.
How many fests have you participated in?
Oh, I think we play every year.
Every year since 2006.
Then we go around too. We go to Milwaukee.
Well, that's like for St. Patrick's Day or a lot of holidays, people really, when the Irish music starts, everyone's like, oh, the Irish music started. Yeah. They're kind of drawn to it, aren't they?
Of course, yeah.
Who's the most talented musician here? Who wants to raise their hand and say, it's me?
Everybody raises their hand.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And you were playing a violin?
This is a viola.
A viola.
Which really doesn't belong.
It does not?
All, but they still let me stay. So.
You force it on the group. Is that what it is? So you guys will be playing this weekend. How many performances do you have? Do you know? Two.
Two.
You have two. Look at Kathy. She'll give you all the
answers. They'll be on Saturday at noon on the Fifth Province stage inside our beautiful pub.
Oh, so cool.
And then on the same day, they're back on 5:30 in the afternoon in our library on the second floor up on our cultural wing.
Wow. So to give people an idea of the venue, it's a former community college. I don't know if it was a high school before that, but my mother went there when it was a community college.
It was one of the city colleges of Chicago, and before that it was a grammar school, and it's 86,000 square feet. I mean, it looks like Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm. It does.
But it's really beautiful because it's an indoor-outdoor fest, rain or shine.
Right.
So you can go and visit our vendors outdoor or indoor. You can visit the second floor, which has our museum, our art gallery, our tea room, mm-hmm. so you can go and get high tea.
I do so much shopping at this fest. I really do. I buy because there's a lot of wool, like a lot of like mittens, and I'll buy a lot of really nice purses and jewelry and a lot of items I can't get any other time of the year.
Yeah, we have about 20 vendors. We also have our own gift shop that'll be open all weekends.
Was that a Game of Thrones reference there when you threw Hogwarts out? Am I missing something?
That's a Harry Potter.
Oh, Harry Potter.
Aw, don't you want to give him a noogie?
That's where I live. I was close. To me, that like counts.
Put him in Slytherin. Just put him in Slytherin.
Game of Thrones.
So there's the Fifth Province downstairs, mm-hmm. and you have outdoor stages as well.
Yes.
Who do you have on the big stage outside?
We've got Eileen Ivers from the East Coast. She's this fiddle virtuoso. She's on Saturday night. We've got the High Kings, and mm-hmm. they've been at the center a few times now, sold out performances. Great group from Ireland. We've got a couple of other a group called Girsa. Mm-hmm. They're all young women from New York who are kind of Irish music royalty. Their parents are all from traditional Irish groups, and they grew up around it. So they're all between 20 and 25 years old.
And what night are they performing?
They're on twice over the weekend. They're on Friday and Saturday. So, and then we've got a lot of local acts as well. We've got Chancey Brothers, who are a great kind of bar band. They'll close out the night on Sunday. We've got Kevin Flynn, who's a great Northwest Side guy, playing mm-hmm. like kind of fun garage Irish rock. Everything from traditional Irish music to Celtic rock.
And then you also have that big ballroom upstairs. What kind of events do you have going out
there?
You
know, we realized it wasn't the best room for an Irish fest, so we're not using that this room, but this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
We're going to have to get into that room.
Yeah.
Declan really likes that room. My son, who has special needs and certain things that he's drawn to, is very similar to autism. He's drawn to... There's a... that Statue of Liberty outside of the library, he has to go and look at that. Mm-hmm. And he has to go and look at the lights up in that ballroom upstairs because there are like chandeliers up there that he just loves.
Beautiful.
And then ballroom. There's a classroom where we actually go to watch the main stage out the window. So there's always... there's obviously a kids area every year, rain or shine.
Yeah, that'll be outside this year. And we've got Irish Wolfhounds. We've mm-hmm. got live music out there. We've got music lessons or dance lessons with Trinity Irish dancers. So mm-hmm. young kids, like 4-year-olds, can learn the basic steps and see if they want to make a career of it.
What about 42-year-olds? Can they learn too?
Yes. Great. You can be in the Men in Kilts contest.
So ooh.
All right.
I'll get you a kilt. We wear our kilts every year. My boys have kilts. I have a utility kilt.
A little bold for me, Patty. But
I think you would look great in a kilt.
All right.
WGN's Brian Noonan is going to be in the kilt contest.
Okay. I say you go. I say you look. You play Bill Leff in ping pong and tennis. I say you go toe-to-toe with Brian Noonan in the kilt. Off.
And Cody, his producer, is going to be.
Oh, is he really? Yeah. Okay, so this is the important part of the kilt contest. Mm-hmm. The footwear. You gotta work out the footwear. If you're gonna go funny, that's one thing. If you're gonna go with work boots, or if you're gonna go, you know,
it can't be like Uggs or
no, and loafers with no socks,
flip flops.
You gotta go. What are the?
What about a green tennis shoe?
No, because it'll clash.
No. We'll just disqualify you.
There's no disqualifying. We're so very grateful to see a man in skirts.
And this is a true Chicago contest because you can go and buy, like have people buy votes for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, early and often.
Because it goes to a good cause, which is the next round. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Mark Carman. Carm and I were listening to the rehearsal for the music you're about to hear, and I'm kind of excited for everybody.
Yeah, I'm excited for you too. This is going to be amazing.
And they're performing this weekend at Irish Fest on Friday and Saturday. We love to introduce you to the Academy of Irish Music Performers. Here they are with a set of reels.
Yeah.
That was the Academy of Irish Music live in the Allstate Showcase studio with a set of reels, and you can hear them this weekend at the Irish Fest. The Irish American Heritage Center, Kathy O'Neill with us. She is going to let you know right now. I got to pull on my headphones. Where can people get tickets, and where is the Irish American Heritage Center?
We are located on the northwest side at 4626 North Knox. So we're right off the Edens, and you can take the L there or drive there. We've got some remote parking, and you can take a free shuttle back and forth. You can get tickets online at www.irishfestchicago.com, or you can buy at the door.
And there's all kinds of festivities. And people think of Irish Fest as everyone going and, you know, tying one on. And I've noticed that people seem to have a good time in a pretty responsible way.
Yeah, it's a really great cultural festival because it's got everything for kids to do. But also, if you wanted to learn more about your culture or the Irish culture, if you're not Irish, and find out what it is we do all year long, that this is a really good kind of intro to the Irish culture.
Yeah, there's everything. There's food, there's music, there's conversation. That's the other thing, too, is there's a lot of people from the neighborhood, but there are people from all over the city, all over Illinois come in for this, don't
they? We do. We get a lot of folks come in from Indiana and Wisconsin, and it's kind of a tradition, especially in our 31st year. We've got people who never miss it. The Dooley Brothers are one of our acts who are playing, and this will be their 31st year of playing the fest.
This we've been going since Griffin was, I want to say he was 2 years old. So we've been going for 10 years. And I'm doing myself. Bob Ferguson's like, why are you pointing that camera at me? I'm on Facebook Live. So if you go to my Facebook page, Carm and I are right there. There he is. We've been going every year. And some of my favorite photos of Griffin and Declan are playing at Irish Fest, whether it was in the bouncy houses or some of the you know, carnival games that you've had. But he always remember he, and you know what he always says? And he's now 12. And last year he was already towering over a lot of the kids in the kids area. And I think he's ready to maybe move on. I don't know when he'll do the what age would you say is appropriate for the men's kilt contest?
We do have a younger like a junior kilt.
So you do?
How old is he?
He's 12.
We'll see.
All right,
you know, I think it might be 13 to 17, but we'll have a tween area this year.
He'll be 13 in September.
But then we'll do it, yeah.
I'm just saying, I think you pass. Plus, he proudly wears his kilt.
Oh, yeah.
He wore it to go see the Scholars at the House of Blues.
He probably wears the appropriate footwear as well.
He wears I'm not saying that, but he does wear the sock garters so that it has the matching color to the kilt. Yes, Carm?
I just like you using your influence here, Patty. Get it. you want him in there, get him in there.
Does seem like the Chicago way, doesn't it? Yeah. Does seem like I might have done that a little bit.
No harm, no foul.
What else do you want people to know about Irish Fest?
I just want to talk to you about the prices,
mm-hmm.
which are Friday, it's $8. And Saturday and Sunday, it's $15. But children 4 to 12 are $5.
Ooh,
and
okay.
Children 4 and under are free.
That's where I have a tricky situation, isn't it? It's where he's 12 for the prices, but 13 to do the kilt. So I got to choose now how old he is.
You can play both
sides. I got to pick one or the other. I think I'm going to go with he does the kilt contest and pay for us to get in.
High level of integrity.
Just saying, I don't want anyone to think we're favorites.
What time was he born at? Because if it's after you walk in, but before you, when you're paying for tickets, right?
It was 4:45 in the morning, and here's why I know that. I really wanted mashed potatoes. I was really waiting for those mashed potatoes. Are you guys cool for, and I hate doing this on the air to people, can you guys play another set of reels or something after, or something? That's really nice of me. Whatever it is you guys do with that fun little Irish music that you do.
Just do it again.
could you do more of that stuff with the fiddles and the drums? What, Kira, what is that instrument called?
It's called a baron.
A baron?
Yeah.
Oh, did I say it correctly?
You did.
Okay, you can smile and nod at anything I do. It's appropriate. Baron. Well, we'll hear more of the baron, the viola, the fiddle. What else do we have?
A whistle?
A tin whistle. We'll hear more of that after the news. Carm, you taking off?
I am, but I'm going to be listening on the way home, so this
Excellent.
Is exciting.
We'll follow Carm on Twitter, @TheCarm, on Facebook. Catch him on Saturday and Sunday on the beat, every Tuesday night here. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm on missing. Tomorrow with Bill Leff, 1 to 3.
Well, that one too. Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll listen. Excellent. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Coming up this weekend is my favorite fest of the year. It's Irish Fest, and that's going to be July 8th, 9th, and 10th. Tickets on Friday are $8. Saturday and Sunday, they are $15. And you can go to irishfestchicago.com for more information. And the venue is at 4626 North Knox Avenue. And for those of you who would rather call, the number is 773-282-7035. I have not missed this fest in 10 years. And Craig, you know, I just realized I should get the fan van and take it to I should just take it to Irish Fest.
That sounds amazing.
Don't you think that the, I think the fan van should be at
Could
Irish
they
Fest.
Could just give you a fan van? Could you just have your own?
I think they need to give me my own
yep,
fan
sure
van.
Do.
I should just get a van and have it wrapped in the WGN. My husband would hate that so
I like that, though, because we can put our
much.
Own stuff on
excited
it, too.
Excited to see you at the Pride Parade.
It, oh, was, oh, yes, I saw you right the there truck. At the
like,
end.
Da-da.
And I heard you. You were one of the few people that I heard yelling at me.
So loud.
You, that was great. That's because we're Irish. We got our Irish up. So that's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I will be performing alongside Jimmy McHugh, James Vickery. We're doing comedy in the auditorium. We'd love to see you there, 8 o'clock Friday night. Also performing is the Academy of Irish Music, and they are live in our studio right now and ready to play another set of reels. Oh, thank you so much. That's the Academy of Irish Music performing this weekend at Irish Fest. And I got back here in time. This I could kind of tell when you were winding down. Kathy, have you ever played any musical instruments in Irish music? Or are you a dancer?
No, those who can't play stage manage. That's oh. my background.
I'm the same way. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person when it comes to music and dancing and that kind of thing. There's something great about making sure everything goes smoothly.
Exactly. And you, there has to be listeners, too.
Yes, that's true. They have to be, and there'd be people that tap their foot and go, if I could, I would. If I could, I would. Did you ever want to be an Irish, take any of the classes for Irish dancing?
I didn't, because we lived in a two flat in New Jersey, and my neighbor upstairs was a step dancer, and it made the TV jump.
So that drove you off of ever wanting to do Irish dancing. I wanted to. There was a girl in my grade school named, let's call her Megan, Mullally. And she, because that was her name, and she, maybe it was Peggy Mullally? She actually grew up in the same neighborhood as the O'Hare dancing school. Like that was her neighbors live in the same. Eileen Shagru, actually, they grew up on the same block. So I was always very jealous of her very beautiful dress and the fact that she was in the St. Patrick's Day parade and you know just one of those things. Did any of you take any Irish dancing classes? Anybody? You did? Wow, you sound so angry. We did growing up. It's really hard. It seems like it's a. That's why you play instruments instead? You're like, we're done with the dancing thing. What's some of your favorite elements of Irish Fest, Kathy?
I would say Well, I was just thinking about the dancing. As much as I can't do it, I love it. We right. have about yes. 6 or 7 schools every week, every year, mm-hmm. and we have them on all 3 days. So you can see dancers from every age, from about 6 years old to the professional ones, sure. 21 years old. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. I love the music. I love that it's outside, too, that right. you can go from stage to stage. And I just love seeing the families that come every year and the people that come out and say, you know, I come out every single year. This is my 20th year. This is yeah. my 10th year.
It's a tradition.
That they make it a family tradition. And the crowds, I like seeing them show up, you yeah. know, and it's exciting.
And for those of you who have, you know, any concerns about accessibility, you know that I always pay attention to that. Everything is accessible. They have handicap accessibility with ramps, with restrooms. There is an elevator. So if you need to go, you know, if you want to go to the library and check out your genealogy or hear some storytelling in the library, that's not a problem. They're very wide hallways. There's so much space indoors and yeah. outdoors. It's really fantastic. And again, there are about 50 to 60 different performances yes. going on over the weekend, including comedy on mm-hmm. Friday night. Jimmy McHugh, James Vickery, and myself will all, and I. And I'm, it's so complicated when I have to throw myself into the conversation.
but you
I will
do
be
it so well.
I don't know. I do it sloppily, clumsily. Some would say, but I will be performing stand-up comedy on Friday night at Irish Fest. This is my first time. I'm very excited and proud. Thank you so much for inviting me as well to do that. I hope we get to make it. I hope it goes well. You know, no pressure on me or on you guys to invite me back. But I hope that it goes well. It's something we can build on. You know, you can just give me a little tent next year if it doesn't go well in the auditorium. But please, everyone. Come to the auditorium.
Or we could put you on the main stage next year.
Yeah. Is this where I have to hope for rain? Like, this is, I have to hope that there's a lot of rain so that people will come inside on Friday night. So go to IrishFestChicago.com for your tickets. Friday night tickets are $8. So that's the night that we will be there doing stand-up comedy. And are you guys performing on Friday night as well, the Academy of Irish Music?
They are on Saturday at noon and Saturday at 5:30.
So Saturday, 2 performances on Saturday with the Academy of Irish Music. And again, go to IrishFestChicago.com. The Irish American Heritage Center is at 4626 North Knox Avenue. And the phone number there is 773-282-7035. And you can take, you know, if you're taking the bus, you can take the 81 Lawrence. I like this. I like that you've got it all lined out for people. And you can take the 81 Lawrence at Kilpatrick or the Montrose Blue Line. And you have everybody lined up. This is some responsible planning you have
yes,
here, Kathy.
Yes. Well, we get about 15,000 people. So.
Yeah. No. It's not packed. It's not unmanageable. I'm easily claustrophobic right. in crowded situations, and I never feel that way at Irish Fest.
I think because it's such a big building and it's indoor and outdoor.
Yes.
And a lot of people do like to. They don't feel like they're trapped watching one band. You right. can get up and go see somebody else come back. So. With that many stages and that those many rooms, yeah. it's a really good way to not feel
trapped.
Yeah,
it's a good way to put it. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us tonight, and I will see you all on Saturday at the Irish Fest. I'll be there on Friday, and the men's kilt contest. Is there anything I'm forgetting? Anything you want to make sure you get out there, Kathy? This is your.
We were talking about potatoes before. We have a mashed potato eating contest.
A mashed potato eating
Friday
contest.
Friday night. And okay. that's for kids and adults. And that's right before you go on. So,
Are they buttered potatoes? You put your own
They're
salt
from
on?
Harrington's Catering and Deli. And he brings out vats of it. And
Vats of mashed potatoes to be eaten.
Yes.
I am a eating
Are you gonna come eat?
Champion now. I am, right? I'm a pretty late eating person.
Yeah, you have
I
to go
did
eat.
Not win. I'm Is calling myself a champion either? Without.
He says he's gonna. He went to the rib eating contest,
and I ate there. So I think I'm pretty late eater.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to do this. Mashed potatoes sound awesome.
What time is the mashed potato eating contest?
Well, you know, actually, it's at 8 right when you're on, but it's short.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Go eat mashed potatoes.
Can I bring my potatoes to Patty and eat them there? Maybe I could have the potatoes and they can just monitor me from the side.
You know what? We could have it like in the hallways leading into the auditorium. I think that's really a great way to welcome people. Into the auditorium.
Patty's there.
just spewing food at them. That'd be great. Again, go visit IrishFestChicago.com, and I look forward to seeing everybody there. I'll see you over the weekend, Kathy.
We'll see you then. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Thank you, the Academy of Irish Music. You guys were fantastic. Look forward to seeing you. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, Bob Ferguson.
Tonight, we'll talk Chicago sports and more as Mark Carman rides sidecar for the first hour. Then later, our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center are here to preview their upcoming festival. And finally, find out how Patty and company celebrated the holiday. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I am joined by Carm. Mark Carman is in the studio. And there were fireworks. There were fireworks all weekend, but there were fireworks today. And you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this election, Rob. Before I told you I wasn't inspired or motivated by anyone in this race. And now I'm just disgusted.
So, yeah, I'm listening to FBI director's comments, James Comey's comments today, that is. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what is it? Are you letting her off the hook or are you not?
Oh, he roasted her.
In terms of Hillary Clinton. He did roast her.
He publicly roasted her,
yes.
But is not going to prosecute her.
No.
So what was the point of having a press conference?
I don't know. I really don't.
I mean, unless it's to have, I mean, because...
If what you said in your comments, and he said things like, I'm paraphrasing here, kind of gross negligence, she was very careless, her entire team was careless.
Extremely careless.
Shouldn't have done it, this and that and the other thing, yet I'm not going to move forward with a recommendation to the Department of Justice.
Then why say anything?
To pursue, yeah, then just let it be.
It
sounds like when... So have you ever done anything bad, like when you were a kid and your mom just says, well, either mom or dad just go, we're just really disappointed in you.
No, this is worse. This
you
is
think? Because that's sometimes really awful, but then they don't do anything about it, but they just make you feel super bad.
This is a monumentally important election. Carm.
Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence they were extremely careless.
Extremely.
Okay, and right, I get it.
Extremely careless.
So what he's saying
is very much so.
You have to read. You got to read between the lines here. I think it's very clear. If anyone but Donald Trump was running on the Republican side, I would. We would be.
That's what you think it is.
Yes.
You think they would prosecute?
They would
no. I don't think it's that. I think it's that we want to publicly humiliate Hillary Clinton. We don't like her, and we're going to even the race a little bit.
What disgusts me though, and we've talked about this before, in Washington D.C., even though you scream that the investigation, you know, had the highest integrity, and there were no outside influences. This was done, you know, pure of heart and soul and mind and body. The fact of the matter is that Washington D.C. itself is just it's just political. The entire system,
no question,
is political, and it cuts both ways. I'm not indicting any one party or person. That's just the way it is.
But why would the FBI benefit from having any being swayed by the Democrat Party?
I don't know.
I don't see what the meeting with President Clinton last week. What kind of influence can that have? What could he have offered them? That's what everyone's talking about. This clandestine meeting that everyone knows about.
Right.
That something happened, and then afterwards, there's no charges filed. She went and met with investigators on Saturday for 2 hours. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, and thousands, tens of thousands of emails. And some which were up classified, by the way, that's also in the transcript. Some that had, when they were originally sent, were not classified emails. Afterwards, the contents were deemed up classified.
Well, it's truly amazing. Sorry, Rob. It's just truly amazing to me that she would be this careless, that she would put herself in this position. Why?
I agree with that.
Like, how is that even possible? Do you feel you're so above the law or so untouchable in your guarded corner?
That
it's just amazing to me. But I think the other side
out of touch, because when she says they weren't important, or they were, it was for convenience, or I didn't really know. It's a completely out of touch with the fact that you are responsible for national security.
Right. This is a woman who is a lawyer.
Sorry, Carl.
And by all accounts, certainly among her supporters, is an extremely intelligent woman. She's been educated at the highest level. She has been in the political, milieu for her entire adult life. So to say that, you know, at the outset of this thing, well, I just didn't understand. You understood because there was a company that no one had ever heard of out in, I think, Colorado that was maintaining your server.
Mm-hmm.
You had a highly skilled IT guy set the server up in your basement in New York.
And disassemble the previous ones.
Correct.
They had to reassemble her emails and the computer from the previous
server. Which makes you wonder the motivation. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Right. What was the motivation?
Exactly. What does she have to gain? Is it stupidity? Is it being out of touch? Is it manipulation? Is it, I mean, nefarious? I mean, what? Where are we in this if it's something that we've decided is not prosecutable? Is that a word?
I like to jump to the American people, too. Like, I really don't think that this has a huge impact on the race. I think...
I don't think so. I think it does.
Really? You think this will change a vote?
You now have clips of the FBI, the director of the FBI, standing there saying she was extremely careless. Is that the quality of a president?
No, but in this particular situation, I don't think it really matters.
Rob,
end of the day.
I think what Mark said, if there was a Republican candidate on the other side whose name was not Trump, then this is a big deal. But because it's Trump, those who continue to support Clinton will continue to do so. Those who support Trump will continue to do so. You may have a few in between that are, and I can't believe that there are any people that are undecided at this point, but they may be swayed, but I doubt it.
I think there are independents that are still out there trying to figure out. Those that wanted Bernie, those that wanted someone besides Trump, I think that they're still up for grabs, and I don't think that this helps anybody.
This, again...
Well, it might help Trump.
Look, I know that there are people out there who like the Clintons. I get it. But this is just another shining example of this family, these two individuals, Bill and Hillary, of tiptoeing around questionable behavior, not getting caught because they were able to sidestep it for a multitude of reasons.
Right.
I mean, let's rewind.
I did not have sex.
I'm not even going back to that. I'm just going back a couple of weeks when he was on the tarmac in Phoenix, Arizona, the story of which was broken by a local reporter because he got tipped off by somebody at the airport that he was meeting with the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch.
Right.
Just even that specter in and of itself raises huge red flags and a ton of questions.
Yeah, why would the spouse of the Democrat?
Well, they're circling the wagons, right? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, and they do it very well. I mean, all politicians.
Such weird timing. So the director of the FBI has this press conference, says that she and her team were extremely careless. And then not long after that, President Obama and Hillary Clinton are at a rally in North Carolina. It's the first appearance President Obama makes on her tour. It's just bizarre.
That timing
is unfortunate.
It is. I don't think that was obviously was not the point.
Well, and maybe it's so bizarre. Who's Kevin Durant?
Are you serious?
Yes.
He's now a member of the Golden State Warriors.
What a vintage Patty left turn. Kevin Durant's a basketball player, Patty. He used to play, he played 1 year of college. Let's go all the way back. He's from Washington, D.C. He played 1 year of college ball at Texas when yours truly was actually down there during that season when he was in Austin. I was doing play-by-play for a Division II college called St. Edward. So I saw Kevin Durant, who you just mentioned, play in college. Then he was drafted by the Seattle Supersonics, who folded and turned into the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mm.
And then he had a phenomenal career in Oklahoma City, top three player in the game the last 9 years, and now a free agent.
Did they let him go, or did he leave?
No, he just decided that it was best for his future, his basketball growth, his personal growth, to play for the Golden State Warriors.
Were the Chicago Bulls a super team? Were they legitimately, back in the 90s when they had Pippen and everyone, was that the beginning of super teams, or is this LeBron's fault?
This is LeBron's fault.
LeBron. Okay. I don't know.
The Bulls didn't orchestrate that. They just, you know, this is totally different. What's different, too, I mean, LeBron left to go to Miami and create a super team. Durant's joining a team that he just lost to in the playoffs, who won a title 2 years ago and won 73 games last year and was shockingly upset in the finals. So it's really a weak play as far as pure competition. But how many people in their lives, let's include Rob Martire, Esmeralda, and you, Patty, and you, Craig, how many people in their lives would sign up for equal amount of money, less pressure, better city to live in, and just overall an easier lifestyle? I mean, how many of us would sign up for that? Because that's basically what he did.
No.
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 Did I raise my hand?
My hand's in the air.
Is it a good?
My hand's in the air, too.
Yeah, but is where he's going, they're good, aren't they?
They're very good.
Yeah, they're very. So would you rather live in Oklahoma City? Wait a minute.
I'm curious a little bit, though, Mark. So say you're a little kid. You play basketball your whole life. You have a dream of being one of the best in the world. You are one of the best in the world. Kevin Durant is one of the five best players in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there some part of you that wants to be the best on your team and lead your team to a championship and not have all these great players surrounding you, including an MVP? You know that you pass to more often than shoot yourself. He's not a star anymore. Well, he's just part of an organization.
Okay, I'm going to disagree on some levels here. Number one, Kevin Durant's won an MVP as well, Craig. Who's to say that he couldn't go to Golden State?
I'm aware of that.
Well, he could go to Golden State and win the MVP.
No one from Golden State deserves an MVP for the rest of their careers. No one. None of them are legitimately the most valuable player in basketball because any of them could get hurt and the team would still win 70 games.
Well, okay, but the best player on the best team doesn't get the MVP?
I don't think so.
Hey, Carm, I think an important component.
Yes.
That too. Or an important, whichever you prefer.
I thought this was becoming a flaccid conversation.
Correct,
ahead,
yeah.
We can go back to Hillary if you want. Go ahead.
Well, my point's a little soft, but we'll continue. But I think an important component of the story is Jerry West, who is now with the Golden State Warriors. And he had an interesting conversation with Durant, didn't he?
He did. Jerry West was in his career 1-8 in the NBA Finals, always losing to Bill Russell and the Boston Celtics. And he told Kevin Durant that he does not sleep well at night still because he always was losing in the finals. And Kevin Durant has never won an NBA title. Now he has a phenomenal chance to do not just one, but probably multiple titles in the next 5 years. He had an opportunity. Listen, I wish he had stayed in Oklahoma City. It would have been a much more, let's throw it out there, manly, competitive, athletic maneuver. But listen, he's going to get to play on the best team in the NBA. And he's still going to have to play, you know, a huge role in them winning. And he's playing with great guys who he likes and he knows.
You're kidding, right? A huge role? He'll play a huge role because he's a great player, but he doesn't have to. They won 73 games and almost won a championship.
He doesn't have to, but you don't think he will?
I think he will. He's an amazing player. He'll do great, but he could do almost nothing.
But he won't.
But he could.
There's a difference because it's easy. I'm going to coast. But if that's not his personality, he's not going to coast.
Listen,
here's my question.
Craig's right in the fact that there's a lot less load on his shoulders. That's all true. He still has to perform, but not to the level that he would have had to perform to do it in Oklahoma City. That's all true.
Here's what I want to know. Before he made this announcement, did he meet with Attorney General Loretta Lynch? You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Carm. You can follow him on Twitter, at the Carm, and listen to him every Saturday and Sunday on The Beat, starting at 3 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And you have like a rotating kind of, you know, we've got Jared Payton on Sundays.
Jared Payton and Adam Hoge.
Sometimes. On Sundays, right?
Yes.
Definitely on Saturdays.
Sometimes.
Sometimes
true.
Kevin Powell.
True.
All right, then. Those folks.
Yep.
Sometimes Sam.
Sometimes
no?
Sam, absolutely.
Always you.
I am mostly there, although I did miss a couple of shows, which
I don't
like to
answer for that. You don't have to answer. I know I don't like to miss a show either. I'm missing the next three nights.
Oh, boy.
Something has come up, so I will be missing the next three
nights.
Oh, no. It's all right.
Okay.
But we are getting some texts about our conversation in regards to, I was mentioning that Hillary and President Obama happened to be campaigning today, and I thought how weird the timing was because, you know, today was the FBI director's big press conference that they are not going to bring charges, but she and her team were extremely careless. We have a texter who says Hillary and Obama were going to campaign before, but it was canceled after Orlando. So thank you from the 773.
Okay.
Yes. I was unaware of that information.
That does make sense, and that was point in mm-hmm. recent history where it wouldn't have made sense to be campaigning.
No.
Right?
Yes.
You have some 630's texting. Colin Powell deleted all of his archived emails. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
I remember I remember Dick Cheney, in regards to Enron too, there were a lot of people who were asking for information out of the FOIA and they were withholding and saying that there it was, you know, matters of security and those a lot of things seem to have disappeared as well under the Bush administration.
Yeah, right. I don't think the Bush administration completely disclosed all of their private conversations as well.
Yeah, I wonder what it takes to decide to launch an investigation because it seems like there have been instances. We've Condoleezza Rice and Madeleine Albright have both said that they might have used private servers during their service as secretary.
Well, and so, okay, that makes you leap to, is this a Hillary witch hunt, which I think some people most definitely believe, which wouldn't surprise me at all. She's got plenty of enemies around there, right? When you've been in mm-hmm. service as long as she has, there are going to be people that would like to take you down.
Right. So
she still was careless. I'm not excusing her.
Right. So, exactly. Because my thing is that then she doesn't stand up to the, you know, the magnifying glass under scrutiny. She isn't prosecutable, apparently. They're saying that the attorney general, there's nothing. There might be enough to prosecute, but there isn't enough to convict, is what I've heard.
Right.
To go after her. Yes, Craig?
We got a super long text from the
60. Super long.
I understand the internet better than 99.9% of the population, yet I'm repeatedly confronted with how much I still need to learn, how fast the internet world is changing, and how many vulnerabilities there are with our security and privacy, etc. I challenge you to find anybody, and that's all in capital letters, in the government or abroad that really truly understands what she would. Maybe she just didn't understand what she was doing.
And she had said before that she was, you know, whether it was her mobile, whether I think at one point it was her BlackBerry to the new phone to a new even Gmail accounts. I think that there is a learning curve, and especially when it comes to people who are learning technology as they go through their career. Yes,
well,
Carm?
Well, I just think it's important, and I might be slightly biased here. I will admit that. But listen, there's emails, there's having extramarital affairs, and then there's things that actually, in my mind, really matter. There's a difference there. Now, again, these are my own thoughts, and
that's what we're here for.
And that's I listen
for all of our thoughts.
I don't care if who's in office is doing something promiscuous because if you go back through time, how many presidents would not be able to pass a lie detector test?
This instance, it's if the people who are in charge of our national security are making us vulnerable by not protecting information.
That's correct. This is a more serious offense than her husband.
Yes,
most definitely not even close. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that she would be this
careless,
for lack of a better word. I was going to say stupid, but careless,
right?
Is fine.
Stupid.
I mean, really dumb. Mm-hmm. Really, why would you put yourself in this position? You know that you're going to be. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense on any level.
Because I have to wonder if they had decided to prosecute her, then how do you? Well, if you're going to go after one, it's a sort of a favored nations, right? You can't just go after one Secretary of State. Then do you bring in Colin Powell? I mean, I would imagine that her defense team would then be like, all right, let's talk to the other Secretaries of State and ask what their procedures were for maintaining secrecy. I mean, is that the thread they're afraid of pulling as the FBI? Right? How far does this go?
Right. Well, and it doesn't look like she's going to have.
I haven't even thought of that.
Well, that was good petting.
I'm just saying.
You just went, make this stuff up as I go. You just went down the rabbit hole there.
That's so many things.
Well, it doesn't sound like she's going to have to do any of that. It'll be interesting when they get into debates. We'll see how it all gets played out. I think she'll survive.
I will say this. So Trump was saying it's not fair because the FBI is not going to prosecute her and other people are prosecuted for their crimes. Well, I would say, you know, being able to claim bankruptcy and maintain your millions of dollars is also not fair to people who can't get that kind of coverage, you know? So, I mean, saying something's not fair is going to be hard for Donald Trump to maintain as well.
Yeah, that's not.
No,
gonna work
that's not defensible.
Real quick, from the 708, this is interesting because they now accuse you of being part of the Republican Party, Patty. How can PV, apparently that's what you get, just your initials, say there's enough to prosecute but not enough to convict? Isn't
that
job of the grand jury to determine if prosecution is warranted? Or is everyone at WGN just part of the Republican Party?
Oh, that's fantastic. Can you please, could you copy that and send it to Jimmy,
who
says that I have a liberal agenda?
Sure.
Oh, this is the best night ever.
Yeah, our other listener. You want us to send it to our other listener?
I still haven't found my liberal agenda,
you.
But now I have to be part of the Republican conspiracy.
You are?
Am I part of the Republican conspiracy?
You are now?
This is fantastic. Oh, seriously.
I wish we had like stuff to celebrate with.
It's a big move by you, Patty.
Best night ever.
I think you should just settle in. 847, so our presidential choices are between a grandma who doesn't understand email and a grandpa who believes every spam email he receives.
Yes! Those are our choices. I love that. Donald Trump is getting emails from a guy in Nigeria, from a prince, and that's how he's made his millions. And she's like sending off information about yoga classes to,
God bless
to the Prime Minister.
America.
We are in so much trouble, Rob Martier. Rob, did you hear that? I'm part of the Republican conspiracy.
I knew it. Oh, I know, because as I've said for years, inside every Democrat, there's a Republican dying to get out.
Just wait till I post the keep abortion legal pictures I took at the Evanston parade. I'm going to post those next. I'm going to post that with part of the Republican conspiracy. Oh, no. Could you? I need a copy of that text. It's my favorite thing ever. That has not happened on the show.
This is
it's a first
historic moment.
Oh, the question was, how could I say that there were things that you could prosecute her? Because that's actually, if you're going to say she was extremely careless, that means that she did things wrong along the way.
She was negligent. Yes.
Yeah, she was negligent. So you can prosecute. You can prosecute anything, as a matter of fact. It's just whether or not you can convict somebody. So yeah, they could have prosecuted her.
Well, you know the old saying, on the federal level, you can prosecute and charge a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to, they can do it.
Yeah.
773 Patty. I hope Lord Trump keeps you around after the election.
But see, this is where I give Patty credit. This is what, you know, you try to do, Patty. We know your political leanings, but in a case like this, when it's so obvious, when the evidence is so clear,
you just made my husband's head explode.
Sorry.
I have to leave it. I have to leave the door open for there's a big problem here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you won't support her or not vote for her, but there's some issues.
Just a couple.
Do I have a break here before the news? No, I should. I think Craig told me that earlier. I'm so thrown off about being in the Republicans' conspiracy. I can't continue.
Welcome to the club, Patty.
I know. It's time now for our news here with everything.
You get a scarf, too.
Do I really?
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping for a muff. No, it's a hand warmer.
I know.
Patty melt time.
Sure it was.
Coming up after the news, we are going to catch up with our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center. You can find out where I'll be performing right there at the Irish Fest this weekend with a bunch of my friends. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Once again, want to thank our performers from the Academy of Irish Music and our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center to talk about Irish Fest. And I really, 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 really want to thank Bob Ferguson. I can't thank him enough. Thank you, Bob Ferguson. Thank you not just for tonight, for every time that you are here for musical guests. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much.
Did a really good job. Really good job. We heard all the music. It was amazing.
I'm still a little rattled, and we talked about this a lot last night, Esmeralda, with the fireworks, and there was actually a lot of damage in a neighborhood that where there was like a lot of property damage. I don't know how much there was around the city. I haven't done much research. There was a lot of trash around my neighborhood, and driving on the Kennedy, after we talked about it, Esmeralda, at 2:15, there were still fireworks you could see off the side of the Kennedy. At 2:15, dudes, you're done. That's it.
It's pretty, but it is frightening.
It's not pretty. You know why? Because it makes me angry. So is it pretty? Is it really?
I mean, if they're like the big ones, those big illegal ones.
Yeah, like, and then they sprinkle, the ones that like sprinkle down.
I love professional fireworks. I like the ones where one explodes and then another one explodes inside of it.
Yeah,
and
that's so cool. Shapes. Oh, shapes is great.
And when it goes to the sound of the music, when it's timed, like that's spectacular.
The finale is always so amazing.
Jerks on the basketball court, not amazing. Yes,
and it's city sanctioned.
Yes, all that stuff. Stop it. There was a child, and I didn't get the whole news story. It's somewhere where this kid was lost his leg and now stands to lose his eyesight because he was involved in a fireworks accident. I don't think it was
Texas?
In Chicago. It must.
Is it the one that? No. Because yeah. I think I saw the same.
Yeah,
article.
Florida.
He's
WGN
lost a couple fingers.
Yeah,
and yeah, he's standing to lose his eyesight because he was making what I believe they called a sparkler bomb.
Mm-hmm.
His mother even said this in the article. If it's the same one, she was like, he was making a sparkler bomb. He does it every year.
Yeah,
you wrap a like $40 worth of sparklers together with duct tape, and you light one in the middle that's supposed to, once it gets to the bottom, it lights the rest of them. But he was right in the middle of it as it hit, it sparked to the other ones, and it went off on him.
Do you think maybe we could switch it so you had to get a license? Like, everyone could go, you could take a class, you could do this whole thing, and if you pass, you get a license to shoot off fireworks. But if you don't have that license, you can get arrested for doing it.
But the thing is that they're not... Fireworks are illegal. There are already laws in place when it comes
right,
to fireworks.
Right, but if we at least force the people who really want to do it anyway to go through like some sort of training program, maybe it could be beneficial.
They're not enforcing the laws that we already have. You can't call the cops on people setting off fireworks anymore. Like, that's not a thing you do. Yeah. I don't know when that changed, when it was like, well, that's happening. We're not going to.
It seems
it's
like
citywide.
I was on the highway, too, at about 10 o'clock at night, and it seems like people wanted to shoot them over the cars.
Yeah.
It seemed like they thought that was cool to almost fire them at us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was pretty at times, but then at other times it seemed dangerous.
Mostly it seems dangerous. like pretty is accidental.
That one was nice and nowhere near killing me.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like we're pushing the line to where, oh, I didn't blow up that time. So I really don't understand. I'm trying to find any accidents that happened in Chicago. I don't think that there are any.
I actually live really close to a firehouse, and that they just kept leaving. They came back, you'd hear them come back, and then they turn on again and they leave again.
Yeah.
And that was all night yesterday.
I don't know why it bugs me. It's over. I guess it's over, right? Although somebody...
It might not be over. People are probably still using them.
The leftovers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I had fun up until I started getting annoyed.
Some part of it, I will admit, is a little fun. Like shooting one that blows up in the air, there's a little bit of joy.
Craig.
When you do it yourself, there's just
what
a
did
tiny
you do?
Bit. Not this year. I have in the past... fired a firework into the air and watched it explode.
But not repeatedly.
No, and not like toward people or cars or things. I've done it on a big baseball field mm-hmm. with a bunch of friends and a guy who was a firefighter was there and kind of told us what we were doing. And when you make stuff explode, there is some fun there.
Gotcha.
That is fun.
I can see that.
Right. But it seems like everybody's just doing it crazy style.
But the thing is we can't, not everybody wants to be responsible.
I know. Yeah, but at least if we created some sort of license program, I think maybe some people would go.
A 9-year-old. So here's some of the illegal fireworks that caused accidents across the country, including the amputation of a 9-year-old girl's left hand in Los Angeles. It boggles my mind. You know, these are explosives. I know that they're small, but as Esmeralda was talking about, somebody who then thinks, well, I can make a better explosive, and they're a kid, and you've already sort of given your blessing to it. I don't understand. I mean, not that we didn't do. Look, we did reckless things when we were kids, right? Didn't you do? I knew people that like jump off of like garage roofs, actually like roofs. I used to skateboard down a hill into a pile of leaves. You don't know if there's like equipment in there.
Did you ever Michael J. Fox? Did you ever hold on to the back of a car or something?
Skitch? I've never skitched.
Okay,
that's maybe in the snow once, and then I fell off and went. That was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my entire life. What's the stupidest thing you've ever done, Esmeralda?
Oh my God.
It's all right, Esmeralda. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Craig, what's the stupidest thing you've ever done?
No, I want Esmeralda to answer first. I want to make sure this is a trust tree.
Well, when I was little, we had a basketball hoop, mm-hmm. and it was too high, and there was a stick that we would use to lower it, and I was trying to do it myself, so I climbed up the pole, and then I didn't manage to do it, but I slid down, and there was a nail or a screw sticking out, and I scraped from like my elbow to a little bit before my shoulder, so I had this big old cut. And I remember my friend freaked out and just ran away.
That's appropriate.
And I
could
go inside and be like, "Mom,
they always
cut
do that."
Yeah, my mom just said, "Why are you doing that?"
Yeah,
yeah, why pretty much.
And not cleaning out the wound.
Yeah, no, she put iodine on it.
Okay, the iodine. I knew you were going to say iodine. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why I knew you were going to say iodine. Yeah. That was the sort of the topical application of our childhood, too. Does anyone still use iodine?
I don't think so.
And it wasn't even like in a dropper. It was like a plastic stick that you, like, nobody really knew how to use.
I think mine
like,
had a brush.
It had a brush? See, that's
it had
nice.
A brush.
That's
but
nice.
I always called it the red stuff.
The red stuff.
And I would cry.
Yes.
Because that hurt worse than the actual wound.
And it would stain your skin.
Mm-hmm.
312-981-7200. Two questions. What's the stupidest thing you ever did? And then did you use iodine for it? Craig, what's the stupidest thing you've ever done?
Lit my friends on fire.
Well, with the fireworks?
No, okay. Not with fireworks.
For funsies?
We were at a bar, and it was a bar that doesn't make a fire drink. Mm-hmm. And I asked the waitress if we could have a few because we wanted to celebrate something cool. And
were you doing the Statue of Liberty?
I don't know what it's called. There's some shot, and it had Sambuca in it, and you can light Sambuca on fire, right? Yeah. And so I told my friends right before they did the shot that I didn't think you had to blow it out. I thought there was some way that it would just go out. And so they both lifted their shots and spilled a little on both of their arms, and immediately both they were on fire.
Oh no!
Yeah, so we put them out, and they didn't have any permanent injuries, but I lit two of my friends on fire.
Oh man! I
thought there was some sort of like I thought I've seen a guy do a fire shot and just drink it.
Wasn't this how a big accident happened in Iowa? Like at the University of Iowa, they were doing the bar was doing it. They were doing like tricks with. Booze that sets on fire, and I think people got injured. I did it. We call it the Statue of Liberty. I don't know if anybody else has called it that, but Sambuca. He's right about that. You dip your finger in the Sambuca, light your finger on fire, light the shot on fire. God, this is one of the stupidest things I ever did. Esmeralda, I couldn't decide what to put out first, and I was with Craig. I thought you could just drink the drink while it was still lit.
What?
I know somebody's done that.
I've done it.
I've seen it happen.
Only when I, so here's what I did, right? So I go to drink the shot. I drink the shot. As I'm drinking it, Sambuca rolls up my face. I go to put my finger up. My face catches on fire all the way up. I have a sky of a missing hair in my eyebrow. And yeah, that was.
Did you not learn anything from the Simpsons Flaming Homer episode?
No, we did not.
There is someone in the bar in one of the scenes where, because they're lighting up the drinks, that doesn't blow it out. He drinks it and his whole head catches on fire. Come on, guys.
Terrible.
Come on.
This is all. Yeah. No, I don't watch The Simpsons. I didn't realize that. And right to the news. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon, we are hanging out with you tonight. It's now Wednesday, but to us it's Tuesday. It'll be Tuesday for as long as we say it is.
Yep.
Or you deem
until
it.
Until I fall asleep.
Until we fall asleep.
Even if the sun comes up, it's still Tuesday.
But for Esmeralda, it's already yesterday.
It's Wednesday.
Right, it's been Wednesday, though.
This is yesterday. Right now is yesterday to Esmeralda.
Wednesday, yeah, when I wake up at 2 p.m. Tuesday, it's already Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah. So I should be over the fact that people were illegally shooting off fireworks yesterday, but I can't. I've gotten older. I'm a get off my lawn with your fireworks woman is who I am now. Ray wanted to tell us a story. Hey, Ray, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty. Hi, Esmeralda. I'm here in Elkhart, Indiana.
Hello.
And I just want to tell you, I usually listen to you guys for about a half an hour on my way home from work after I deliver pizzas all night. So,
oh, hey.
I always tune in and listen to you, and you're always enjoyable. So,
oh, I appreciate that.
I kind of draw a blank on stupidest things I've ever done, so I guess I'll skip that. But I was just at Meijer picking up some Baskin-Robbins pralines and cream ice cream, my favorite.
Oh, it's good
stuff.
I
walk in the front door, and I see a friend that used to work at my job, and she goes, well, my ex-husband just blew off his middle three fingers.
This weekend?
Yeah, I guess last night, and she had two bags that were filled with bandages and what's that, gauze.
Yeah.
Yeah, two bags filled with the stuff, and she goes, well, he's out of the hospital, but she goes, of course, he lit an illegal firework, and it had some kind of the fuse. He lit it, and the thing just went off just like that, some kind of fast fuse, and she goes, can you believe it? It's his fishing hand.
Oh.
So now how's he going to go fishing anymore?
Wow. So presumably they weren't able to reattach the fingers?
No, these three fingers are gone.
Oh, that's so
sad.
Three
middle fingers. See? We had another one here in South Bend in the I think it was Pottawatomie Park, where somebody was actually in, like, jail in corrections, and they, I guess for 20 years, the people have gone over there, you know, and they clean up the trash in the park, and someone that was doing that was in jail, they picked up a firework. I don't know if they lit it, but same thing happened. They blew their hand off.
Well, so, why would you pick up something you don't even know where it came from or what? Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
I can't imagine it. It just blew up. They must have taken a match and lit it up. And
yeah,
that's crazy. But I'm with you. I saw kids last night when I was out delivering pizzas, and three little kids running, lighting fireworks, and their mom and dad were standing back by the garage, and kids will light them and run back. It's like,
yeah,
that's crazy, isn't it? So
well,
I think, like you, the kids shouldn't be even touching those, and I guess some adults should not be either. So
no, I agree. Well, thank you, Ray. Be safe tonight, and I'm glad that you're tuning in during work and to unwind. Thank you.
I enjoy listening to you. I wish I could be there for the mashed potatoes. That sounds so good.
At Irish Fest, yeah.
Yeah.
One of these days.
This weekend.
Thank you, Ray.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Take care. We also have a first responder on the line. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Patty?
I just love those pipes, Esmeralda. I mean, come on.
They're smooth.
I know. Like, I just get goosebumps. And apologize to your wife for me and my husband, Todd.
I'll apologize to your husband. My wife gets, she's used to it already.
All right, then.
She gets it all the time. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
Hi.
She's the only person I know that can blush when they talk. Like, you can, right? I love that.
You see it, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on? What do you want to tell us, Todd?
No, well, I had three. These three pertain to me. When I was a kid growing up in Buffalo Grove, we had this place called Emmerich Park. He had a creek that ran behind it, and we used to have bottle rocket wars. And stupid enough, we would stand right in front of each other.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even try to dodge them. We'd hope that it was playing chicken, basically, with bottle rockets.
Oh, my God.
A couple of us got hit in the face, but, you know, didn't do too much. much damage.
Because they're just kind of projectiles, but they're not exploding, right?
Yeah, well, they were exploding, but they, you know, they were a little pop. It wasn't the big rockets or the mortars. Thank
it wasn't the big ones. Come on. These are the little ones. Yeah, they pop a bit.
Future firefighter right there is what happened. Go ahead.
Yeah, these next two will tell you that anytime you see anybody who's a firebug, they're going to be a fireman. We were living in Chicago, and my dad showed us how to burn out anthills because we had a ton of them in our backyard. He showed us with lighter fluid. So, of course, I think lighter fluid, we've got gasoline. So let's just put the gasoline in the holes. Well, I burnt the whole backyard.
Oh.
Ruined the whole backyard. And then
Before you move on to the next story, can you tell us the burning properties, the qualities that make gasoline burn faster than lighter fluid? Because gasoline's not intended to start a fire. That's why they call it fire starter.
Right.
Well,
the only properties I could say is it's a lot more flammable.
It's gonna torch everything in sight.
More fumes, yeah, including your hair.
Yeah, everything around. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. Continue.
No, and then the other one was my brother showed me. I don't know. I think I was 10, maybe 11. He showed me how to use Lysol as a flamethrower. So I called my buddy who lived next door over. I'm like, you got to check this out. We go down in the basement. There goes the couch. The whole couch went up in flames.
But the water heater is down there with a gas, with a pilot light, isn't it? And your dryer, your gas. I don't understand, Todd.
Was it at least a little bit cool?
It was awesome. It was just like, I mean, because it didn't go out. It just kept on going.
Okay. Well, now you're telling these stories, and we're laughing because there was property damage with your backyard and with this couch in your basement and minor wounds with bottle rockets that were going at your face.
Right.
Now, as a first responder, what would you like to tell parents and their children when it comes to fire safety and fireworks?
In a heartbeat, it's over. You know, it could be as simple, and it's not simple, but it could be as simple as losing a finger or a fingertip, and it can be as major as losing a whole hand, a foot, an eye, both eyes. I mean, we've had our calls with it, and number one, it's not pretty to see for us, so we can only imagine what it is for the families to go through, and, you know, for that 10 seconds of glory, it's just not worth it.
We need a Todd.
I tell my kids all the time, man, my son is 23, going to be 24. My daughter's 19. Mm-hmm. And I tell them all the time, I said, if you want to end your fun now, you know, my son still plays football. I said, you want to never play football again? Go ahead and think about blowing off a firework.
Wow.
My daughter likes to just drive, you know, and just play Frisbee and all that. And, you know, you want to get rid of that fun and continue to play with the fireworks. So fortunately, they don't.
Right. Well, Todd, we need to have you on before New Year's, which is the next time people shoot off fireworks, and then again the next 4th. We appreciate it. And I'm so glad that you've learned the error of your ways. I appreciate it. We'll see you in studio next week on Tuesday.
I hope so.
Where can people get information about the upcoming game, the CPD-CFD game?
CFDGoldBadgeSociety.org.
There you go, CFDGoldBadgeSociety.org. They're going to be playing at Comiskey. I know it's called something else. Is it Comiskey or Wrigley?
No, it's Comiskey.
All right. And what's the day of the game?
July 13th, awesome. A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow, go out to whatever it's called, the Cell. The Cell, that's what it's called. And watch the CFD take on the CPD for a great cause. But we'll talk to Todd on Tuesday night right before that. Have a great night, Todd. Be safe. Or I know
great.
It's so
thank weird. You too.
Thank you so much. And we have Patty on the line who wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Patty, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Very well.
I always listen to you.
Thank you.
I just had to laugh because I thought it was over, but I just was on the Edens coming from Chicago and going through probably Skokie toward Northbrook, and I must have been a house right on the edge of the, you know, the first row, and I got a nice fireworks show. They're still going on.
They're still going on because they got leftovers.
Yep. Yep, they're still setting them off. Big fireworks show.
How did you fare in your neighborhood with all the commotion? Was there a lot of fireworks around you?
No, we have a place in Chicago, and there it would have been horrible. But I actually, my main house is in Riverwoods, so that's pretty private.
I love Riverwoods. That's a great area. Well, it was chaotic in many parts of Chicago last night.
Oh yeah, I've been there before in our place. When it, oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Too stressful. Well,
I just had to laugh, though. I got another show tonight, so. Okay.
All right, that's right. Get a little more entertainment. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Okay,
thank you. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty, what's going on?
Not much. Hanging out with you.
A little compliment to Esmeralda for her radio program the other night. It was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I was listening. When I was a kid, I grew up in the back of the yards, and we used to do war games.
Okay.
On the 4th of July, which was, there was a place called King Hill, and we would do smoke bombs, bottle rockets, Roman candles, and we would team up against people and kind of like grab their flag. And looking back now, it's like, it's a wonder nobody got killed, nobody got maimed or, yeah, it was really not a really good decision.
Isn't that strange? You look back and you're like, how did we survive that? So you were shooting.
Back in the day, it was fun. It was, that was what we were supposed to do. It's like, oh, hey, let's do this.
Did your parents know what you were up to?
No.
No. Did you ever?
No, I was at church and a Bible study and.
Yeah.
No.
Except for the war games. Did you ever do that any other time of year except for the 4th of July?
No. No, it was only the 4th of July. Everybody would pitch in money, get our weapons and. Yeah.
See, the war games for me was Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy, want to play a game. That's war games.
No, you got to do one-on-one, you know, and especially when you can outrun something. Nowadays, yeah, I can't outrun anything.
No. I'm glad. How old were you guys when you guys sat around and went, you know, that's a bad idea? Or did, you know, everyone just moved away or went to college?
We were like 15 to 17.
Yeah.
And just hanging out. And then all of a sudden it was just like, you know what? This really isn't a good idea.
That part of your brain started to form where reason took over and went, oh, right. Deadly.
Yeah, because my best friend was running from me and I had a Roman candle. I kind of set like his shirt on fire.
Okay, that'll do it.
So we were like, hey, you know what? This really isn't a really good idea.
No, I agree. Well, thank you so much for telling us, Chris. I kind of like what's the stupidest thing you've ever done segment. Thank you, Chris. Be safe. Don't do any more stupid stuff. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Patty.
Mm-hmm. More after this. If you want to give us a call, 312-981-7200. So far, it's been a couple of fireworks, but we're talking about anything. Any of the stupid things you did growing up, skitching and jumping off of roofs. And tell us what those. And it's no judgment. I probably sounded judgy. I take it all back. If I sounded judgy, Craig and I would just nod and go, yeah, that sounds like that was crazy. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with Esmeralda, Craig Collins, and you. And we're talking about the stupidest things we've ever done. We also seem to be going into stories about people we know and the stupidest things they've ever done. I remember there was a kid I knew who would go when they would vacation in Michigan City. They were like, there was a pier, I guess he said, he would sit on the hood of the car and his friend would drive it full speed down the pier and then hit the brakes and he would dive into the water. And that I think is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard somebody do. We have a bunch of callers who wanted to tell us some of the stupidest things they've done. Hey, John. You have another comment about fireworks. What do you want to tell us?
Yeah, Patty. I could have a stupid thing too. We probably get busy, but
no, it's fine.
Me and my sister, I'm 67 years old. She's 5 years younger. The only fireworks, and we've had sparklers, all that stuff. The only thing we got burnt by was the punks.
Yes. Yeah,
you're in a dark. You're trying to blow the thing and make it burn.
Mm-hmm.
Why you put too close to your lips? Well, it's dead. And if you got time, the stupidest thing I ever did.
Yep.
My father had a shed in the old Bucktown neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to work with a railroad. At railroad lanterns.
Sure.
Well, I went in there one time and like a kid fooling around, I poured some oil in there and I didn't know it was paint thinner.
Oh.
Well, I lit the damn thing and I think half my eyebrows are gone because of that.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's adrenaline that'll stay with you. Yeah. Do you sometimes can kind of bring up that energy again of like that fear, like your heart almost stopping?
No.
When you think about it?
Now I know why. You know, you got thin eyebrows. Well, I never, very few people knew about that, but.
the paint thinner and oil. Oh.
Yikes. That could have blew up. You know, I didn't know. I was stupid as a kid.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Our brains weren't fully formed.
All right. So remember, the most dangerous thing in fireworks is the punks.
The punks. Yeah. Be careful with those punks. The punks are the punks. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Have a great night. Steve, what do you want to tell us? What punks? They're like this little just the sticks. They almost look like incense sticks, but they're just all they do is burn like an ember. They're not like the sparklers. They're almost like sparklers, but they don't sparkle. It's stupid. Right, Steve? What's the stupidest thing you ever did?
Steve?
Yes, Steve. It
was one of my cousins after a 4th of July cocoa.
Uh-huh.
We were sitting down eating dinner, and one of my cousins threw an aerosol can, a hairspray can, into the grill.
Oh, no.
And the whole grill exploded.
Oh.
Nobody got hurt.
Wow.
So the whole grill was just completely obliterated.
What did they ever decide what compelled them to throw an aerosol can into the grill?
Just trying to have fun.
Sure, sure. Yeah. No, that's
how old was your cousin?
Yeah.
It was 14.
What?
That seems like the age. I mean, do you think it was what would be the age that would be not surprising, Esmeralda? Like a teenager wants to kind of like see what this does, like kind of a cool way. And a toddler is like, I don't know what I'm doing. I have this can in my hand of insect repellent and just throw it.
I don't know. I would think a 14-year-old would have some better sense. But
yeah, not Steve's cousin.
Yeah.
Was there parents?
Here, but no, not my cousin.
Were adults
was
there?
Dummy.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the ones that should be on Nick DiGilio's biggest dummy.
Sounds
he
lame.
Dummy.
Big dummy. Yeah, no kidding. That one would win. Well, I'm glad nobody got hurt. That's a great stupid story. Thanks, Steve.
No. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye. Have a good night, Esmeralda. I'm trying to remember. So punks, we would just like light leaves on fire and like burn ants with them because we were horrible children.
What? So it's just a big match.
It's just a big it's kind of burning, but it doesn't have a flame on it. It's just an ember.
So what is that? What is it for?
Stupid. It's a stupid thing.
Is it under the firework category?
Yes, I think it is. Those little snakes. You know what snakes are? You like
right.
Okay, so that's kind of like the stupid stuff.
I don't understand those.
No.
Smoke bombs. Like, what a cool smoke.
Smoke.
What?
It looks like a war zone. Vicky, what's your stupid story? Hey, Vicky.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, when I was, I'm 45 now, but when I was like 12, 13 years old in 7th and 8th grade, me and a few friends of ours would actually hop freighters.
Freight
train. Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was really stupid.
Where did you grow up? That you
recommend?
Yeah, no.
In Chicago.
Can I ask what neighborhood that you were able to jump on freight trains?
Like Kilbourne Park neighborhood.
Okay, I'm so glad you're okay. I'm glad you're here to tell us this story.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the reason why we stopped is because we would like run with the train, grab onto it, and then jump on it.
Wow.
And sometimes like they would have like guys on the back of like the caboose.
Sure.
And on the times when we wouldn't get caught, we would like ride it for like a mile or two down the tracks.
You must have felt so cool.
Yeah. It was, you know, we thought it was fun at the time.
Sure.
But then one of my friends had grabbed on and she like went to jump on and she slipped. And the train dragged her like a few feet and she let go. And, you know, it was like, that was like a wake up call for us.
Okay.
You know?
She was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She had I don't know if you want to call it like a road rash, but yeah, she was.
Trains are a good one. I was trying to cross the train tracks in Norwood Park. There's a Norwood Park station right there. And I had roller skates on and there was a train stopped at the station. And I went around the gates because I was like, oh, well, I'll go halfway to the platform. And people started screaming because there was a train coming the other way. And I had to dive to get out of the.
Oh, really?
Yep. So
you
just reminded me.
Really not really.
Did you also put pennies on the track?
Oh, yeah. We put pennies. We put rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. We're so stupid. See, I also put pennies.
Oh, I know.
See, we grew up around trains. We're so lucky to be here, Vicky. We did some stupid things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I know.
Oh, no problem. Have a good night, Patty.
You too, Vicky. See, this is the thing. Thank you. We get to feel stupid all over again, don't we? That's how I feel. I feel stupid all over again. We have on the line, who's next? I just want to make sure I don't want to make anybody wait too long. I think I'm going to go with, let's go with Carol. Hey, Carol, what story did you want to tell us?
Hi, when we were younger, we used to go up to the park, no parents around, of course, and the boys would put sparklers on arrows and shoot them straight up in the air, And as we got older, they put M80s on them.
Of course they did.
They would do them straight up in the air, and we would all dive under the picnic tables. And they would come and hit on, you know, they'd come straight down, of course.
Right.
And hit right into the picnic tables.
Oh, man. I hope there are no kids awake right now thinking that's what we have to.
I don't know why we weren't, you know, someone didn't get killed.
Exactly.
At some point for everything we did, you know.
Maybe this is some sort of, you know, coming of age process of like this, you know, we didn't lose out then. We didn't thin the herd. These are the ones that made it. Man, that is some crazy stuff, Carol. That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
This isn't the season, but we did a huge, huge snowball. We took it down the street, and there's like 15 of us pushing this thing, and we left it right in the middle of the street.
Oh, so cars couldn't get around? Were cars able to get around it? Was it that big?
No, of course not. No.
Car comes around the corner. What in the? That had to be weird to come around the corner and see a massive snowball in the middle of the street.
It was huge.
It's kind of funny.
And that one's... nobody knew who did it, you know?
Yeah, now we do. It was Carol down the street. She was the one with the massive snowball. Thank you, Carol. That's great. Good night. We're also lucky to be alive. How about you, Harold? What's your story?
Hey, how you doing? I got a couple.
Yeah.
By the way, a punk, just so...
Yes, for Esmeralda.
Yeah, Esmeralda knows. It's just the sole purpose for a punk is just at 4th of July time is so kids can't smoke, they can't have cigarettes. So it's something that'll stay lit for like a half an hour, an hour, while they're lighting their fireworks.
Do you use it to light fireworks?
That's what, when I was, I mean, I haven't shot fireworks off in probably 25, 30 years, but that's what I used to use them for. We used to have, you know, whenever somebody would get fireworks, they'd get some punks, and that's what you would, you know, it would stay lit, and you go get a pack of firecrackers out of the trunk or whatever and light them off. But,
so what you're saying is adults would use their cigarettes, their lit cigarettes, to light the fireworks.
And then so, and when adults would give the kids the fireworks, because that's how stupid adults can be.
Yeah, they give them the punks. Yeah.
They give them the punks because they weren't allowed to have cigarettes.
So, right.
Hey, you can't have cigarettes. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Take these fireworks and a punk.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, a couple things, not fireworks related, but I got a pair of suspenders and I was going to use them for a photograph or somebody was going to, you know, wear them. But it had some writing. And I was like, I want this writing off of them. So I started scraping it off with a knife. Got almost all of it off, but there was still a bunch of it couldn't get. And I said, the heck with this.
Right.
Tired of this. So went downstairs and turned on my dad's wire wheel. And I ran across the brush, which is a wire wheel, is a motor on it.
Uh-huh.
It spins like 5,000 RPMs or whatever.
Oh, geez. Fast.
And I'm just running it across there and check it. And, yeah, I got most of it. I got down to like a quarter of an inch left, just a little spot.
Yeah.
And I wrapped my hands around the suspenders, both hands. And then I put it by the wheel, because I've been doing it for like 2 or 3 minutes,
right.
You know, leery that something might happen. But then I said, no, nothing's happened. And then I stopped and I said, no, not a good idea.
Yeah.
So I grabbed my hands, ran across the thing, and all of a sudden, it was, the suspenders was gone. It wrapped itself around the wheel.
Wow.
And if I had my hand on it, I wouldn't have no hands.
No kidding.
So I mean, and you realize that other people do stupid things when they're young, and even when they're older. And so every time something happens and people go, "How stupid is that guy?" I feel bad for that person because I'm like, I was young too, you know.
Right.
But I had one time. I'll tell you another story, and then I'll let you go on to the next person. But I was riding my bike, and I went over by Fort City to Best Buy, and I went down Cicero. And there's a big, huge hill that you got to go over to train tracks. There's like 20 or 30 train tracks. It's like a big freight yard or whatever.
Right.
And so I went over this hill. It takes you really high. So I'm climbing up the hill, and I get up to the top of the hill, and I start coasting down, and I says, well, don't pedal because you're going to pick up enough speed as it is. So, and I'm on the sidewalk.
Right.
You know, because this road is very busy. So I start going down a hill.
Harold, you're cutting into Rob Martire's news time.
So it'd be real quick.
Yep.
So I'm going faster and faster, and then And there's cars in the car lane right next to the sidewalk where I'm at. And they're sitting at a red light. You know, there's 20 of them or so.
Right.
And as I'm passing car after car after car.
Oh, God.
I look, there's a guy with a video camera videotaping out the side of his convertible.
Uh-oh.
And all of a sudden I look and the sidewalk is gone.
Oh, no.
I'm doing 25 miles an hour and I'm 8 feet from the, maybe 10 feet from the, they jackhammered the sidewalk away. And it was like about a foot and a half deep. And I said, oh, my God. And I said, I can't stop. I mean, if I hit the brakes, I'm just going to slide into it. So I just turned and went right onto the curb between this hole in this park, in this car. And I thought, oh, I'm going to take this guy's door off, you know.
Right.
But I stayed on the curb, went the 8 feet past the hole, and then got back on the sidewalk. I was riding on the curb about 3 inches wide.
So, so lucky. Yeah, that's a – see, so many stupid things. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We're hanging out, and I think we've gotten through all the stupid stories. So many stupid stories. As people were telling me theirs, I'm like, oh, that's right. I did do something even more stupid than the other thing I already told you about. But I, Craig, what do you want? I was going to do this. I forgot to talk about this last night. One of my favorite cookies, and we've never talked about this. I love Oreos, but I don't eat them anymore.
So great.
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good.
What have I told you? Oh, can you eat Oreos anymore?
Pretty sure I cannot.
Yeah, you have to talk for a second.
I'm pretty sure
I'm choked
that
up about you not being able to eat.
Actually, thank you, Patty. That's how I felt about it. I have a whole jar of Oreos, too. For some reason, Betty puts them in a jar. She takes them out of the box they're in because apparently that's fraught with...
You can't take them out of the sleeve.
Yeah, you take it out of the sleeve and you put it in this jar with a top on it and they stay fresh that way.
You mean a cookie jar?
No. Because it's not a cookie jar. It's just like a jar she found, and it's got like a screwable top.
Mm. Yeah, well, there's cookies in it. It's a cookie jar.
It was not designed to be a jar of
from the cookie jar.
Yeah, Betty did. She also put them all in there. I don't know why she does that.
Don't you kind of want to get her a cool cookie jar now?
I do. I would like, but I don't know if it doesn't twist shut, it won't keep them as fresh.
I can find you a twisty shut.
I need a very fresh jar. That's the whole point.
I don't know. Putting Oreos in a cookie jar.
Our cereal is also in those boxes. It's no longer in the thing.
So
it's poured into the box.
I tried doing that with like things, you know, cereal, beans, pasta.
Beans. Oh, my God. We have so many beans closed up in things.
You're married to a Mexican.
I'm aware.
It's what we do.
Yeah, I figured that out.
Esmeralda, do you tend to have beans around the house all the time?
Not really because I'm sick of them.
Oh.
Because, again, in my... Mom's house.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. There's beans.
Beans.
I try to convince her, though, that some of the stuff that we buy, it came in stuff that you can store it in. Like when you use it, you
the
can
bag.
Just leave it. Yeah, the bag.
Twisty
yeah, but
tie.
Beans, yeah. Beans, be, yeah, because you either need a twisty tie, and it, if you don't
twisty
do that, they
so
just
easy.
Spill everywhere.
Yes.
It's so easy to get a twisty tie.
Does she? How often does Betty make beans?
Every day. We got a slow cooker. We got a slow cooker from my brother, and she thinks that that's like the perfect thing to make beans with. So she just constantly, I don't know.
Yeah, you do the beans in the slow. You do
I
a
don't
huge
know
batch.
That we've had a day since we got the slow cooker where beans were not being cooked in the slow cooker.
Welcome to Bean with Mexicans.
Yay. Woohoo. Viva la raza.
She got confused for a while when I didn't want beans with like my breakfast anymore because that is a staple. That is something that has to happen.
Yeah, it's good for, it's a good starter. Good
right.
day starter. Get you fueled up.
We also have so many. Any tortillas?
Yeah, lots of tortillas.
So many.
All the tortillas.
Do you get the big, huge stack?
Yes,
yeah.
We do. We get the big, giant ones.
They're
all
gone
El Milagro.
Like midweek.
It's
El
daunting.
El Milagro is great.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently for those. And I've gone to the store for just tortillas, which is something I never thought I'd do.
Yeah. Does Betty eat tortillas with just butter on it?
I don't know. I haven't noticed that. My cheese, just cheese.
Just well, it's a quesadilla.
That's what she calls it.
Right.
Yep.
My mom would eat a tortilla with just butter and a little bit of sugar. That was
got
some,
it. Yeah. I will ask her. I've never seen
that. That's a treat.
That is a treat.
It's not a treat.
It is a treat.
And also, being out of tortillas is not a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge
deal. It doesn't
deal.
Matter.
It is when all you got is beans.
You got to have a tortilla.
Which oh, my God. We're out of tortillas. I just got that text a few days ago. I was like, okay.
All right.
Great.
Go get some tortillas.
I know.
We're out. Mm-hmm. Mm. Could you get me some when you go next time?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
as many as you need.
Steve actually buys a lot of tortillas. He's a big tortilla guy.
It's great how cheap they are.
Yeah. They're like 20 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beans are really cheap. They're like 80 cents a bag.
Some of her meals must cost like a dollar.
It's absolutely true.
That's awesome.
Is she putting onions and garlic?
Oh, yeah. There's always, that stuff's not in mine, but that stuff always goes in her things mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have garlic in the freezer, just a whole tin of garlics mm-hmm. in the freezer.
Does she store grease?
I don't know. I haven't asked about that.
Oh, I do that. I do bacon.
No.
Bacon, I have some chicken schmaltz as well.
Why?
Because things cooked in bacon taste delicious.
Not cornbread, though. I tried making a batch of cornbread with bacon drippings.
Oh, good.
And it tasted...
Sorry. Go ahead.
It tasted like soap. It did not turn out well.
Are you sure that was soap?
When you guys store this grease, mm-hmm. one, how long do you store it for?
When I put it in the fridge.
Yes. When I was a kid, mom would always use a coffee can.
Wait, but you didn't answer. So how long before it's old?
I don't know.
You keep adding bacon grease to it too. So
As long as it takes.
So you're saying you never throw it out?
No, it's grease. Grease doesn't. And it's in the fridge.
What words are you saying to me right now?
Doesn't rot.
I hope we don't have this.
It's grease.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of stuff that's like closed in containers that I don't open. Yeah. I might have grease.
Okay. What about oil?
What do you mean oil? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like cooking oil? It's just sitting out on... Yeah, that's right. It's oil. Yeah, it's fine.
It lasts forever. It's like grease.
Right.
No, it doesn't sound like the same thing.
It just solidifies.
Because there's food material in the grease.
What do you think oil is?
Well, there's no... No one made food in it. Like, I didn't do it.
Oil is a food material.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it didn't... Nobody did it in front of me. There was no food that I saw being created. The oil, anything that gets created without me, I trust.
So if you had a jar of bacon grease from the store, you would be fine with it?
Yep. Completely fine until it was expired.
Crisco. Crisco is kind of a weird product, isn't it?
I don't know about you guys. Shortening. Well, Patty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My mom never used like lard.
Yeah, shortening. My mom used shortening.
We were always a oil or shortening, never lard.
No, I mean, I don't think my mom used lard either. No, she always had that canister of Crisco.
Right.
Yeah, the shortening. I always use that for lettuce. I always thought it looked cool to eat, and then I tried it one time. It tastes like Vaseline.
Yeah,
no.
Remember the stuff that's like butter?
Yes.
They started making that Crisco for baking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I love that stuff.
God, remember when Pam came out, changed your entire world? I don't know. Maybe you don't remember Pam coming out.
We never used Pam.
Yeah. No, I started using... Are you all right, Craig?
No, I so dislike this conversation. This is so sad, everything.
To go back to the conversation about the bacon drippings my cornbread, Esmeralda, mm-hmm. I used it right away. So, I mean, it was...
No, I just mean, did you maybe like mix it up and it was actually soap?
No.
Solid.
No, because I thought the first time maybe I made a mistake, and then I did it again, and it was for like the in-laws, and it was terrible. What?
So you just substitute whatever vegetable oil?
Yeah.
Huh.
It did not go well.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I'm not sure what mistake I made. Like maybe if you do that, you have to add more sugar or something somewhere else. You have to sort of make up for the consistency of it.
I never use it. I only use it to saute stuff.
Yeah. I've
never used it to cook bake something.
I've used it to fry fried green tomatoes, and that turned out very well. So I don't know why.
I've never had enough bacon grease to fry
What's
something.
What's wrong? Craig, you all right?
No, nothing. No, it's fine.
What's happening in your text screen?
No, from the text, 708, growing up in the early 60s, we used to put sugar on white bread, and that was a sweet snack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
They do that in Europe, mm-hmm. where you put frosting on it, too. Mm-hmm. And sprinkles, yeah.
Nice. My mom used to, this is from the 312, I used to leave the last Swedish pancake on the griddle and turn off the heat. I called it a Swedish tortilla, and I ate it rolled up with butter.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing, I think this is in Latino households, is putting the tortilla right on the burner.
Yeah, no, I've burnt my fingers many a time.
The tips of my fingers are calloused from just grabbing things off.
Yeah, and then you just take it. You just pull the tortilla
right off.
Well, you
flip it over.
You gotta flip it.
I know. I'm aware of all this. I flip it over with a fork.
No, what?
I don't know. I should find like tongs and stuff.
You gotta get those. You gotta get the calluses.
No,
on your fingers.
Why? That makes no sense. Why would I willingly burn my fingers?
And then I usually, when I flip it, I burn myself, and then I go, and then maybe the tortilla might fly off the thing.
And the nice thing about doing that is if you have a gas burner for gas stove, you get a little bit of crispiness to it.
Oh, no, it has to be gas.
I know. I tried doing it on electric. I hate having an electric stove. It's the stupidest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, I had one. I didn't like it. You could get that thing. Did I tell you about that? That six tortilla toaster?
No.
The dude's from Chicago, and he has an Indiegogo fund for it. It's a six tortilla toaster. It's called the Noonie Toaster.
Noonie.
And it's for six tortillas at a time, because you would see his mom using a griddle with tortillas to heat them up. And it's like he calculated it took so much time out of her day.
Right.
You just have
so
to Google
invented
tortilla
this
toaster.
Thing. Yeah, he invented this thing, and he's from Chicago. And I was like, that's amazing. Yeah.
It's the number one result. Google tortilla toaster.
I want to get that from my mom. Here you go.
You know what?
Time saved.
Do you know what doesn't work? Toaster.
toaster does not work.
No, it's not going to work for the Googling.
Viva la tortilla. That is one of the pages on his site.
Toaster tortilla. Let me see if I do it in the wrong order. Oh, Nooney. There
Nooney.
Yeah, the Nooney tortilla toaster.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Oh, this is kind of interesting. I don't know.
Oh, you can invest. Investment opportunity, Esmeralda.
I know, but the
thing. I mean, to me, that's genius. It would probably sell so well in Mexico and in other Latin American countries.
I know.
Six tortillas at a time?
This would not sell well in Mexico because everyone just cooks it the way they cook it on the grill and they're proud of that.
Yeah, but this would save so much time.
No one would do that for that reason.
I think
if you got like six kids and they all want tortillas.
Okay. I think if this were a tortilla maker and toaster, I would be far more impressed.
Well, that's a tortilla factory. That's just what that is.
Because if it was like a, you know, when people were all into getting bread makers, did you ever get one of those? I always wanted to have a bread maker because people seem to really love them.
But... Yeah, I wanted one, but no, yeah, I never got it.
Another countertop appliance that I'm not going to use. Right. I did spend a lot of money on a blender. I bought a Blendtec that I love. I love.
Do you like it? Because I've been thinking and wanting either a Blendtec or the other one.
Vitamix.
Vitamix, yes. Mm-hmm.
What are you guys saying?
Instead, I bought the
Ninja.
Yeah, no,
no.
What's the infomercial one?
That's the Ninja.
Yeah, that's the one I bought.
No, not the Ninja. There's the other one.
It's the Magic Bullet.
Yeah, that's it. I hear all the time that this is amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I have a Magic Bullet, and I have the one that makes smoothies.
And you suggest the Magic Bullet?
I like it. I mean, I don't really use it that often. I used it for smoothies.
Okay.
But now this other one, it's the Nutribullet.
Yeah, Nutribullet. I've seen. Do you guys have juicers?
I do have a juicer.
Do you use your juicer a lot?
Not as much as I did when I first got it, but when I do it, I love it.
What do you juice?
I juice kale, carrots, ginger, lemon, apple, pineapple. You can't put berries in there, obviously, because you may as well put that in a smoothie.
Were you in love with your first juicer, or did it take you a while? Did you have to search through juicers?
This is my only juicer. I bought a refurbished one on Amazon.com, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
And so I get it much cheaper. And the thing is a cleanup. I think a lot of people will agree it's all the different parts, so you have to then clean.
Got it.
And I also, yeah.
We've had bad juicer experiences, apparently. Mm-hmm. It doesn't juice it well.
What juicer?
I don't know. I buy juicers from Amazon,
I think you should get the one from Jack LaLanne.
Ooh. Okay.
That's a person?
I thought about getting that one. I have a Breville. I have a lower, it was about $100.
And you think it juices properly?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
See, I was thinking about getting a juicer, and then I thought... Well, because I saw so much stuff that says it takes out the fiber, so I'm like, I might as well just make smoothies.
Yeah, it does, which is why I also have the Blendtec. When I want my fiber, I do my juicer. I mean, my smoothie.
Do you guys ever
put
like the powder stuff in? Mm-hmm. Could you put like fiber back in? Could you juice
protein?
It and then add fiber?
I put protein back in.
Okay.
Into my smoothie, into my juice.
We have vitamin packets that's just a powder, and that goes into our smoothies.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Boost your smoothie. Are you all right, Craig?
I'm confused. I'm so confused.
You know what you don't put in there? Bacon grease. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Craig Collins, Esmeralda Leon, and I'm not going to be here tomorrow night or Thursday night or Friday night. The next three nights, I will be off. Tomorrow night, I'm leaving for Central Illinois. I'm going to be doing more work with the Illinois Sorry, everybody. Can you take that out of the recording, please?
And, I've removed it. Go ahead.
Is this live? I'll be doing a little bit of I love going on these adventures with the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. I'm learning a lot about farming. Going to go visit our Esmeralda, who is our corn stalk. When we last saw her, she was the tallest corn stalk in that row and in that area of the field, I believe. Doing very well. So I'll be off tomorrow night and also Thursday and Friday. Friday night I'll be performing at the Irish Fest. The Irish American Heritage Center, alongside Jimmy McHugh and James Vickery. The other two comics that were scheduled to be there just canceled on me, and that's just fine.
I'm
not going to use their names. I'm just a little sad. It's the first time I've booked comics, and I just feel a little bit mad that I did not get contracts But you know what? I will say this. I have done the same in the past. Double booked something, not did my calendar correctly. Comics are we're a strange breed. And now that it's happened to me, I understand why people have been frustrated with me in the past. And I am very sorry to those people. And I accept the apologies of the comics who have backed out on me. James Vickery and Jimmy McHugh have not. They will be there on Friday night. And I'll be performing as well at the Irish Fest at Irish American Heritage Center. And I'm very excited about that. I love the music and everybody that turns out for the food, the music, all the fun. And by the way, Craig, I asked you earlier about Oreos. And the reason I asked you about Oreo cookies, which your wife stores in a jar, that we're not calling a cookie jar because
it wasn't a cookie jar. It is a jar that contains cookies now.
Making it a cookie jar.
Well, but at some point it was a jar that had something else in it.
Do you call the other jars like the bean jar and the pasta jar?
Yeah, I think it was a bean jar.
Okay.
I think we have cookies in our bean jar.
Okay, that's the way you guys roll at home. I don't think we need to know too much more information.
I think she calls it a cookie jar.
We had cookies in her bean jar. That's between you and Betty.
You wanted to say something about Oreos, though?
Do you shop for the Oreos or does Betty?
No. I'm there, and then like stuff goes in our cart, and then I pay for it.
If you saw that there were organic Oreos, would that be compelling for you?
Sure. That sounds compelling, as long as they still taste like Oreos.
I would think so, too. I don't understand, like, organic macaroni and cheese. These are things that do not go on a packaging. Like, it just seems as though you're kind of defeating the purpose of, you know, a lot of trans fats in there, a lot of other things, a lot of artificial coloring, a lot of things going in there. What part of it is organic? What part of Oreo cookies could possibly be organic? The flour, I guess, which you cannot have.
Yeah, that's the part I can't have. Yeah, that's part
can you
can't have.
Eat the inside of an Oreo cookie? Can you just have the scrapings?
Well, the whole like cross-contamination thing is apparently a big deal.
It's touching.
But I think I could if they gave me just filling. Like if you could buy just Oreo filling, I could eat that.
Go get some Crisco and put some sugar in it.
I'm not going to do any of this.
Same thing.
I'm not going to do
same
this.
Thing.
I'm not going to store any fat anywhere.
Mm-hmm. In a jar? Did you get any texts about storing?
I did. There's someone that sent a really funny photo as well. It's like an old school advertisement. They're happy because they eat lard.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I'll share this on your Facebook.
It's just fun to say lard. Lard. People used to say that a lot when I was a kid. They would call people lard asses. That just seems so cruel. I can't remember who would. I just remember hearing that as an insult. Lard ass.
I remember lard ass.
Yeah, I apologize. Anybody who's ever called that. Because that seems like the cruelest thing.
It's very mean.
Yeah.
But if you're not running on the basketball court, pick
it
up,
lard
ass.
Oh, I see. So sort of a motivator.
Yeah.
From coach.
That's what I got.
Did you respond well to coaches that would use negative reinforcement?
No.
No, me neither.
Yeah, I crumbled.
And teachers, the same thing. Like teachers that use humiliation,
right?
I was out.
And then once you as a child crumble in front of them, you would think they would change the approach.
Oh,
they do not.
It's like fuel for them. you just fed the demon. Esmeralda, did you like being humiliated? I mean, not like.
Do you like it now?
That is a whole other conversation.
What happens? No, I mean, were you scarred emotionally ever by being humiliated either on like in some sporting event or, you know, gym class or a regular academic class situation?
No, because I kind of kept to myself for the most part.
You're saying that
I didn't do sports.
Right.
I didn't really play in gym. I stood in the back.
How about even like in a math class when you had to go up to the board? Nobody ever?
No, you didn't really do the go up to a board kind of stuff. I didn't do well on my own, just right on the piece of paper with the homework.
You look confused, Craig. Did you ever have to go up to the board?
All the time. Yeah. What do you mean you didn't do the board situation? No. That's a classic school thing.
So stressful.
I like the board.
No.
So
I don't want to go to the board. Especially well, you like math.
Yeah, I love math.
That's the only time you went to the board was for math.
Well, sometimes you filled in a letter for spelling.
Ooh, diagramming sentences we used to do on the board.
Oh, yeah.
Loved diagramming sentences. That's a lost art. And they've gone and messed it up with all kinds of new rules, like how many spaces behind it after a comma. I can't.
Two?
After a period. It's only one now.
Oh.
What is it called?
Oxford.
Yeah, that's Oxford that whole comma. Rule thing.
I don't know if it's the Oxford. The Oxford comma is when you're listing things.
Right. I always use the Oxford comma.
I use a comma all the time now, even when I don't need it. I just throw commas in. I'm just like willy-nilly with my commas.
It seems like it's a comma situation.
If I have to get breath in this sentence, it gets a comma. Here with everything you need to know, commas and everything, is Rob Martier. Actually, we can talk about this on the air, Craig. I got a phone call last week. You know, people have been asking me about the TV show that I sold to ABC based on my life called The Better Half. And we basically wrote this script. I've been a stand-up comic for, let's say, for over a decade. That's kind of the number. It makes me sound younger. But I got into stand-up comedy because, well, for a lot of reasons. I love the art of telling jokes, of monologists. I grew up watching Johnny Carson. It was my favorite memories are staying up late to watch comics like Gary Shandling and Ellen DeGeneres and Roseanne. And I also loved watching Saturday Night Live when my Aunt Bernice let me stay up. When I was really little, I got to see Gilda Radner and the characters that she did, and I was absolutely obsessed with the little girl that she had. She would play who wore, you know, this she was a brownie. She was a, you know, Girl Scout, and she would jump on her bed and she would play all these different things. And then I saw Gilda Radner doing Rosanna's Anna Dan and all these just Baba Wawa, just some amazing things. And I love to laugh. Brian Regan has a great story about one of the reasons he loves being a comic is he's kind of chasing that feeling you had when you were a kid. You laughed so hard and laughing made you laugh even more, and you'd all make each other laugh until you were on the floor and you can't remember what you were laughing about. And I love laughter. And this show is different. Obviously, I'm a talk show host here. This has given me the chance to expand conversations in a comedy club. Everything has to be immediate, and they're, you know, you've got this timing that you have to figure out. So I've spent a lot of time doing stand-up comedy. I got into it because, again, I loved the art of it. I grew up watching so many talented performers. And then I saw Margaret Cho, who talked about her mom being the daughter of immigrants and the, sort of this cultural confusion and her place as a woman. And nothing else in stand-up comedy had ever really come close to resembling my life. And all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I never changed my mind. The moment I saw Margaret Cho, I knew exactly what I was supposed to be doing in life. And it was an incredible moment. I was in grad school at Northwestern. Within a couple months of doing my first open mic, I completely turned my back on Northwestern. And I probably should go back there someday and apologize to all the people who were kind with their time and generous with mentoring me. But I knew, actually, my Professor Nancy McClellan, told me that she could see me being the next Roseanne. And of course, I was like 21. I'm like, she's like a mom. I'm like a mom comic. And that's actually when I became a headliner, was when I was pregnant. I became a mom comic. But what I knew my entire career was that my family was hysterically funny, just bigger than life characters. My dad was sort of this cab driver who was always on the hustle, always kind of a bit of a con man. My mother, very proud immigrant who came here, learned English as a second language, and people talk to her like she's less than, and yet she graduated in the top 1% of her class and always just carries herself in this very proud way. And anyway, I had all these different sort of influences on my life. And finally, after years and years of pitching the idea to studios all over Hollywood, ABC bought the idea, lock, stock, and barrel, my entire life story. And we wrote the pilot. I wrote it with a woman named Amelia Serrano. And with Tapestry Films, they're the producers of Wedding Crashers and Point Break, all the way back to the original Point Break. They've done a lot of movies in between. And really believed in me, ABC Studios did, and also believed in me, developed the series. And we went all the way to the top. We were in the last rotation of sitcoms that were being considered, and they chose to go with another series to shoot a pilot of. That series also did not make it to network. It's a long process. There's a lot of, there's a lot of start and stop. So we are on hold right now. We are still in the mix. Right now is when a lot of studios are hearing new ideas, and I'll be going back out to Los Angeles in the next month or so to hopefully go back around and do that. But in the meantime, I got a phone call from a casting director who just finished a film with Amy Schumer, and she's been looking for female comics. In particular, she's looking for Latinas. And her goal in life right now in her career is to find the woman that should be on Saturday Night Live. And when she said that, I was like, that's really hard. Like, what I do is really hard, but that's such a, there are so many talented performers across the country. We have De Minnesota. Those two women are incredible. There are, there's just so many people that's what they train for sketch comedy. But there have also been very successful stand-up comics on Saturday Night Live, including Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy. So they just want to see the sort of range of what I do and trying to get an idea of what to do next. So it was very exciting to talk to them today. And for the first time in my life, have talent management in Los Angeles.
So that's amazing.
It's very cool.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank
that's really,
you.
Really cool.
Well, because when I went out there after I sold the series, like management there were companies that called me and would sit down with me, and I was like, oh my God, Brillstein and Gray, they want to represent me. And I was very excited. And they this guy goes, yeah, I really wanted to meet with you because I'm trying to figure out how you sold a series. Like, really? Allowed to me. And I said, are you interested in managing me? And he goes, well, I can't really make any money off of you right now. I mean, at least it's honest, right? It's very honest. I can't make any money off of you.
Did you just want to walk out, though?
Yeah, I was very surprised because I've known this guy for years.
Right.
And let's call him Alex because that's his name. But, I mean, really nice guy. I've known him for a long time. He was brutally honest with me. And there's some other factors involved that are sort of bizarre. So he... yeah, he said, I can't make any money. You already did this deal without me, so I can't make any money off of you. So we'll see what happens next. And so what happens next is I don't go back there. You know, unless, you know, they come calling again.
Right, yeah, if Alex begs.
But I'm going to go with these two women who contacted me who have done a lot of great work. So I'm excited about working with Christy. Mm-hmm. So yay!
Yeah.
It's my first time. I've been
Los
going.
Los Angeles.
I know. It's cool.
Yeah, so, it's a fancy place.
I got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to, like, drive. You know L.A. well now? Like, you know all the... Mm-hmm. Okay.
No. Thank you, Waze.
Right.
I heard Brian Noonan talking about Waze today, this app. I think it was Noonan. I listened to WGN all day long.
Noonan was on.
He was on. I can't remember if it was Brian Noonan, if it was Bill Leff. Because I know Dane Neal was on with Bill Leff today.
When you downloaded Waze, I had a Uber driver tell me that you gave up all of your securities. Did you remember
That's
that?
Every app.
Okay.
Every app says allow for your location, right. Phone calls to be made.
Get all your contacts.
Yeah, if you want to do anything on your phone. When I download a flashlight, why does it need access to all my other information? That really happens. Allow the flashlight.
Let us know
to,
where you are at all times because the flashlight won't work.
Oh, that reminds me. I have a lot of stories. Facebook might use your location to find people you may know.
Oh. Like for me?
Yes, you specifically.
Okay.
If you've ever wondered how Facebook manages to suggest the worst possible people for you to add to your friends list, it might be because of your privacy settings. This is important because I don't really check my privacy settings. Whenever you update, I'll bet you they change some of the elements that they kind of slide in there. Facebook has confirmed it used GPS data or data, depending on how you say it. How do you say it? Data or data?
Data.
Data?
Data.
Esmeralda?
GPS data.
Data. All right. We have another warning coming in.
We
will let you know momentarily.
Hold on. We can read it.
The National Weather Service has issued a marine warning. So if anyone's on their boats or planning to go out for Winthrop Harbor to Wilmette Harbor and Wilmette Harbor to Northerly Island, beginning at 1:42 and ending at 4:12 a.m. So please beware. There is a marine warning in those areas. So Facebook GPS will use the data to find out who you might cross paths with. Yeah, that's
a little stalkery, Facebook.
That's a little presumptuous.
Although I would prefer that to like my ex-girlfriends and stuff who I'm not friends with on purpose.
Then it should tell you who to avoid crossing paths with.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who's over at that Starbucks?
Oh, how
you
funny.
Do not want to go in there. Oh my God, that would be the best.
That would be so wonderful.
Your hair doesn't look good enough to run into Tom today.
Or it just checks in on you first. It's like, how are you looking today? Pretty great. Yep. Okay, go ahead in there.
How confident are you? How confident are you to see somebody from your past?
Oh my God, that app's amazing.
That would be a fan.
We need to make that.
What is that app called?
I don't know.
Not okay.
Yeah.
The social network's help page states that Facebook uses data such as mutual friends, work and education, information, networks you're part of, contacts you've found important, and other factors. Facebook's now trying to backpedal on this one and say that they're not using your GPS. But if you're worried about it, you should go to your privacy settings and turn off your location services. Actually, you should do that for all your apps if you are concerned at all about people finding you. Because have you seen that, if you go to that like side column on Facebook, you can see who's near you. That's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah, that comes up all the time. Like, so-and-so is near you, and it's never anyone I really want to see.
Yeah, never. And you can invite people to, just have certain people. You don't have to have, everyone on your Facebook. You can select, your favorites. So, oh, look, Patty's down the street. It's often Jen Kramer, because she works at Navy Pier. I'm like, oh.
Okay, wait, so you've done this? How many times have you actually gone to see the people?
Never.
Okay.
Not once.
Because that would be scary no matter how friendly you are.
I think it's weird when your friends when I had that favorites list of people location.
Yeah.
I could tell when they were traveling, and that's weird. I don't need to know that they're 6,000 miles away from me right now. We're not going to see each other for a while. I'm pretty sure that's not happening. So those. I also wanted to talk about. We didn't get these are all the stories I didn't get to last night. By the way, Craig.
Good segment.
What we meant to get to last night. I know you're not a fan of the last Batman versus Superman movie.
I happen to dislike it. I think I've made that known.
And what was your thought on Ben Affleck as Batman?
I thought he murdered too many people.
He did. So that's Ben Affleck is well on his way to becoming the most murderous movie Batman.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people in that movie, a lot. And Batman, as we all know from everywhere else he's ever been represented, doesn't like killing people.
Apparently, one of Batman's most sacred virtues is to never kill people.
That's what Batman thinks sets him apart from the criminals, the murdering. Mm.
But now it seems as though he's happy to murder dozens of people to get the job done.
Yeah, he was even flying in a jet just shooting people.
That seems very strange.
That seems really
a lot of.
And Ben Affleck's making a movie. He's going to murder people in that one?
I guess he's murdering the hell out of people.
I'm not going.
Mm-mm.
I'm protesting. I want my $15 back.
Let me see.
I'm not spending.
In the compilation across 5 incarnations, 7 movies, and the 1966 TV show, Batman has killed 45 people.
Okay.
And Batfleck.
Ooh, that seems high.
Batfleck. He in the last Batman versus Superman movie, he is he's almost halfway to killing that many people in just one movie.
Yeah. 45, though, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of people. I wouldn't put it that high.
It was 45 in all those movies.
In everything ever outside.
It doesn't detail how many Christian Bale kills.
Do you like that name, Batfleck? Do you like calling him Batfleck?
No.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Sounds like something I should squish.
Why does he always get nicknamed?
I don't know.
In relationships? Why is Ben Affleck the guy that we need a nickname for?
Well, that was one of the first sort of mashup names for a couple,
right?
Wasn't it? Bennifer?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's always been kind of the trailblazer of the nickname.
And why did they go with Bennifer instead of Jenna-Ben?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's always a dude's name first.
Jenna-Ben?
Jenna-Ben.
See, but in that name, you get all of Ben, and
yes,
that's not fair.
That's not fair. You're right.
Right.
Then Bennifer you do too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's not fair.
What are some of the other mashups that we've heard?
Well, who did he date after that?
He dated another Bennifer.
Bennifer.
He married a Bennifer.
Oh, yeah, he married a Bennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner.
Well, I don't know if he's ever been merged with Matt Damon, but he should be.
I can't. Madden?
Benefew?
Yeah, doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Before we take a break, who are we calling? Oh, I know who we're calling tonight. Oh, should we call him tonight?
I got a
request. We're starting to get requests from people to call them, which I think is really sweet.
But are they going to answer?
This person might.
Okay.
But then I feel since I just got the number yesterday, I should keep them on their... Oh. I should,
are they going to make Esmeralda blush on the air?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe.
Had a streak of two of the last two we did. She was blushing, right?
I got to start going through my phone numbers and see who else I can get.
Yeah, we had TV people. You have any TV people?
Yes, but this is someone who's been our guest on our show today.
Oh, nice. Okay. Oh, today? That's easy to guess kind of then. And today counts as today, right? Today's not yesterday. You're not talking about yesterday. You're talking about today.
Wait, I'm trying to figure out why did I write the word boo on... I don't think I wrote this response. Do you ever have something you've posted on Facebook? You're like, I didn't write that.
You posted it?
It looks like I posted the word boo.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. And I don't get it.
Yeah, why did I post boo? That was a mistake.
Did you like it, though?
No, I don't... somebody liked it. I didn't mean
it. No, does Esmeralda like it?
Boo.
Well, it was
boo.
A comment.
Yeah.
Comments.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know what was going on.
I'm trying
on.
To find it.
Yeah, it's on the last... it's under my naked girls reading.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Boo. Oh, two people like it.
Yeah, why do they like that?
I don't know.
That was an accident here.
Yeah, because Lester said nice, and then you just said boo.
Sorry, Lester.
Let
me do accidental boo. Sorry. Now we're Facebooking with Patty Vasquez.
Now we're criticizing very small parts of the Facebook.
I don't want Lester to think that I've done something.
That's the first time you've accidentally posted?
Is that Lester J. Clyde? And usually I erase them, but now people have seen that.
Yeah. No, it's been liked. You can't erase something that's been liked.
I didn't erase Facebooking?
I had it out here the whole time. Maybe I might have voice
Is there more of a thought than boo that you were making and then you just
boo-hoo?
Hit send too soon?
I don't know. Somebody's going to dissect the show and go, she said boo at that one point. I said boo earlier when we were talking to...
Everyone listening right now should go like it on Facebook too, by the way. It was 16... Go like her boo.
When did I say boo 16 minutes ago?
I don't know.
Sorry, Lester.
It
did not happen.
Can you voice do stuff? Does voice work for Facebook?
Yes.
So you can talk to it and then a post happens.
When my keyboard comes up, I can voice text on any app.
So maybe, that's what happened.
This has been good radio. Could you please send this for my
we're all going
my
for
nomination?
Next year. Silverdome again.
What I wanted to before we go, because I don't think are we calling legislators anymore, or is that done because they have a temporary budget?
Yeah, we have a budget.
We should probably take a poll with the audience. Who do you want us to call? Should we keep calling legislators? Because now they're just running for office, and I feel like then we're just kind of talking about people who are trying to get elected. And I'm not sure we want to do that. Although some of them are not. I don't think Senator Biss is running for office. He said that he's up for coming in and doing more budget conversations. I think that's because we have free cocktails and food. I wonder why the legislators want to come in. They're having a good time. But one of the... you know, one of the things that we've talked about making money off of in this state, a lot of people have mentioned legalizing marijuana might help. Oh, there's the beeping again. Stand by for another warning.
Here we can take
warning.
All right.
You wanted me to go to a break and then find out what it was?
It takes so long to...
The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Kane, Illinois, DuPage, Illinois, Cook County, and Lake, Illinois, beginning at 1:50. That's right now, and ending at 3:20. So please take heed. Severe thunderstorm warning for those. That was for Lake, Cook, and DuPage counties. And 312-981-7200. Please let us know who you think we should call. Do we continue to call our legislators or move on? More after this on 720 WGN. The Cubs are gone. Well, they didn't yesterday, but somebody has a great idea. What does one of our listeners want us to do?
Oh, so Chris noticed that you are kind of a Cubs fan.
A little bit.
And he thinks that for the wake-up call for the rest of the season, you should wake up the starting pitcher for the opposing team.
I love that so much.
Every day.
So much I love that.
So we'll call them and try to wake them up and tell them they're going to lose, maybe in their voicemail if they don't answer.
And what is your plan for getting these phone numbers?
That part's going to be way more difficult to get correct cell phone numbers.
Chris has some suggestions.
Yeah, he didn't have any. He just thought we should do that.
Someone has to do the legwork on this.
Yeah.
As far as we have to find out, obviously it's on the schedule.
We'd have to contact the team, convince the team to give us a certain player's cell phone number.
Yes.
And not explain why.
Totally doable. Hey, we want to have your player, tomorrow's starting pitcher, we want to have him on the air.
Yeah.
What time are you calling? Oh, we don't know yet. It's going to be we'll say 2 o'clock, not tell them that it's.
And even when the Cubs are on the road, we want to do that. And they'll be like, wait, where's your radio station located? Mm-hmm. Chicago? We're not Cubs fans, though, we promise.
Yeah, it'll be a phoner.
Yeah, we just want to know what he thinks about plant.
Yeah, exactly.
Tomorrow.
Just want to get their thoughts on that.
1:50-ish. Mm-hmm.
We didn't decide who we're calling tonight. We did not.
We like that idea.
You know, let's call Leader Lou.
Winthrop Harbor to...
Wilmette Harbor.
You got that one, right? Mm-hmm.
Wilmette Harbor to Northerly Island. Mm-hmm. This is a marine warning. So that's, they're including Calumet Harbor as well, and Calumet Harbor to Gary, Indiana. So this has expanded the marine warning also to Burns Harbor, Indiana. So those of you listening to us on the wall, also to Michigan City. They're expanding at Cook, Illinois, Lake Illinois, Kankakee, Kendall counties. Oh, this is expanding. Lake, Indiana, Grundy, DuPage, Kane, and Will. Beginning at 1:53 and ending at 7:53. Wow. I did not realize there was so much. You know what happens? This is what happens when I don't have skilling. Oh, let me get this on the line. I want to make sure. You know what? We want to make sure Leader Lou Lang knows about the severe thunderstorm watch that's going on. This is for a lot of Illinois. Wait, is he answered? Leader Lou?
Hello?
Oh, my apologies. We're trying to reach Leader Lou Lang.
Oh, have I dialed the wrong phone number here?
I'm so sorry.
No. He's hold on.
Oh, I apologize.
What?
It's okay. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Don't wake him up.
This is horrible. What have we done?
Oh, I dialed the house number.
Did you really?
I dialed one of the two numbers.
Oh, you are in so much trouble, Craig.
I didn't dial his cell.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I can wake him up for you.
No. We're so sorry.
By the way, first, ma'am, we should tell you we're live.
We're live on the air.
On WGN
yes.
Radio.
I apologize.
This is live.
That's okay.
Hi.
I love you. You're such a good sport. Go back to sleep, please.
Okay.
I hope. Don't wake
so
up too much.
To wake you up.
Hurry up before you wake up too much. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Oh, you are so much trouble, Craig Collins. You just woke up the leader of the
house. Oh, no. I woke up leader Mrs. Lou Lang.
Yeah, you woke up Mrs. Lou Lang.
And she was about to wake him up.
Yeah, she was.
And then we told her she was live on radio, and she goes, no big deal.
Well, I was talking about thunderstorms.
Totally fine.
Maybe she thought he had to get out first.
Oh, my God. I can't that
was,
that.
That's really.
I tried to do that while you were reading those, and I tried to do it quickly so it'd be ringing. And
that's all right.
Do you want me to call her?
She was a very good sport. No.
We made a wake-up call.
Yeah, we did. Okay. We totally woke somebody up.
Yeah, we did.
John Cass and Leader Lou's wife are now the two people we've really woken up.
I did not notice I had both numbers.
That's a pretty late first. Well, he likes to make sure we have a landline because it
really
is a better
does.
Connection.
Yeah.
He's very thorough.
That's very kind.
We're very thorough, too.
Leader Lou.
We have all the numbers.
Right.
Yeah. Did I tell you about a representative who was very angry we had his number at all?
No.
Oh, yeah, I got in a little bit of trouble.
Are we going to say which one?
No.
Okay.
No, no. We've been told to call his district office next time we want to schedule a conversation with him.
Oh.
Yeah. Another legislator gave me his number. I'm not going to say who that was either.
So wait, he gave it to you and then he was confused that you used it?
Somebody else gave me that person's number.
Oh.
It was passed along to me. I have a lot of legislators' phone numbers. And I asked a particular legislator to give me that person because I loved the speech they had given that day. And when I called him, where'd you get this number? I have the numbers of many legislators.
I think that's what we do with the baseball players too, actually. And they probably all ask us and we just have to be confused.
Yes.
I don't know. We just dialed a crazy number.
We didn't even know for sure it was yours.
Right.
We feel very lucky right now.
We don't even know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Someone from the 773 calls us chickens for not having her wake him up.
No. Yeah, we are chickens.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
What?
You don't want to talk to them.
No,
we like to talk to their voicemail.
We just want to leave a voicemail.
Yeah, we don't want to wake up wives.
God, she
or
was
spouses.
So sweet about that.
She was very sweet.
Did she sound like somebody who had just woken up?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yeah. I did not want her to wake up completely.
All right, you're both nodding heads. Yeah. Esmeralda's nodding yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All
right.
She's even whispering.
I think to strike a balance, we have to call Vic Vaughn's wife and wake her up, too.
Yeah, let's do that right now. Vic's in for that.
yes,
He's nodding his head.
Wake her up.
Cool.
No,